This week, WWE 2K18 has been released, and the internet is weighing in on the finger-licking Colonel Sanders, who's going to grill you up and serve you on a platter. And that's just one piping hot story. Stay tuned for the rest of the night's news, served to order, starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet. Welcome back. It's another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio. Live tonight, episode number 704 for this October the 15th of 2017. My name is Rob Roberts, joining you from our headquarters here in Sacramento, California. By my side, as she always is, Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers.
Oh, hi.
How are you?
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Any exciting, fun things? No rock concerts this week to speak of?
No.
Yeah, so this week couldn't nearly have been as good as last week with gorillas and everything, right?
Just a week of self-improvement.
There you go. There you go. A moment of zen. A week of zen.
Focusing on me.
There you go. I get myself the best birthday gifts. I hope you treat yourself as well. Or as they say on Parks and Rec, treat yourself.
Although I still owe somebody here some Legos.
Hey, that sounds like a
I
treat.
I just haven't had time to go out.
That Seriously, sounds like don't a treat. Worry about it.
A treat for Techmaster Loki over there.
Yes.
What, you don't want more Legos?
What? No, I can always use... Well, I always want more Legos is whether...
You well, it's going to happen.
How many times have you stepped on a Lego brick barefoot? Because we all know that's like one of the worst things that can possibly happen to you.
It's not. I used to walk on them, so I mean, it's fine.
So I found out this week that Loki and I both like... the same show. I know we don't talk a lot about TVs and movies here on OLR because, you know, we have other shows here at the Voice Geeks Network where we do tape live Sunday nights at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. We have a lot of great shows here that talk about that stuff. We don't really get to talk about it here as much, but no. I found out that you and I are both big fans of the show called The Good Place.
Yes,
on NBC.
It's a really funny show.
It is hilarious. I started binge watching. I don't even know what made me do it. I think just a lot of my friends were talking about how funny it was, and so I was like, all right. It's like a 25-minute show. Well, it won't take that long. I like marathoned the first season in like 2.5 days.
Yeah, like, we ran out of episodes, so
yeah. And it's only on its second season, so it's pretty easy.
Yeah,
to catch
it just started
up.
Second season.
Yeah, so I liked it a lot. I thought it was really funny. So I don't want to spoil it too much. Well, the premise is that the main character, who's Kristen Bell, who was Veronica Mars, right? Mm-hmm. But she's a little older now. She died. And she wakes up in The Good Place, which is the opposite of The Bad Place. So she, you know, because obviously I don't think the show wants to get too religious. So it's about her, you know, adventures in The Good Place and the people that she meets and the maybe not so good things that are happening in The Good
Place.
Well,
yes. And the main twist, which they kind of reveal it in the first episode, is that she's not really supposed to be there.
Yeah.
It's a mistake.
Yes. Yes. That is in the first episode. Yeah. So he's not really spoiling anything too crazy there.
And so it's kind of her trying to... fake it and, you know, try to make it into, you know, this thing. And then all sorts of crazy stuff happens.
Yeah. So who's your favorite character? Because my favorite character on that whole show is Evil Janet.
Evil Janet's pretty good. I also like, I can't remember his name, the dude that plays like the silent monk.
Oh, Johnny.
Johnny, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, but. You know,
yes,
his,
I know.
His
yes.
true, his true per-
yes, yes.
Not to spoil anything,
his
but
self,
yeah,
his self,
his self. Yes, I like how his interactions.
let's see. No, it's Janu was his name.
Janu
was his name. Anyway, when I watch a show like that, I can tie anything back to video games because the way they present that The Good Place is kind of built is that like there's this architect that creates The Good Place for a certain number of people. It's totally like The Sims. Like, I swear the people that invented that show probably thought, how could we turn The Sims into a TV show? Like, is it just me or does it feel like a
sort
lot
of
like
The
Sims?
It, yeah.
Yeah. Without all the like death traps and stuff,
yes.
Without all of that. So, going to chat over at live.vognetwork.com. A couple people starting with Kassin, saying you can talk to me about the Orville, which I'm hearing a lot of good things about. I haven't gotten around to that yet because I've been watching Star Trek Discovery, which, you know, I realize a lot of people are watching Orville instead of Star Trek Discovery, which, cheap plug, I did appear on Starboard Power Coupling this week. So if you want to check out our synopsis of episode 4, go check out those kids, the Starboard Power Coupling podcast, which is part of Vogue Network. It's there under our podcast.
And then, of course, I got to get into Stranger Things season 2 when that comes
out
in 2 weeks.
Oh, shit, that's like only 2 weeks away,
yeah,
huh?
It is 2 weeks.
Ooh,
yeah.
Exciting. And that's, as we got into last week, that's a game now, too.
Yep, it is.
Dark Soccer, is there anything you're watching on the telly?
Nope.
No?
I don't really like TV.
But you've watched a few things. Like, you guys watched the Castlevania anime, which I still need to do.
I
was only like,
I watch things when they come out, and then I get it over with.
Yeah.
So I watch Stranger Things. I'm going to watch the next season. Yeah. I watched Jessica Jones, and I watched Luke Cage, and I watched Defenders.
Okay.
And I tried to watch Iron Fist, but it was completely fucking ridiculous.
You got some stuff. You got some
stuff.
But
I'm not watching anything.
Okay.
Right now.
I see what you mean. So, like, you wait, and then you, like, binge it all at once, and then it's done.
And I get it. Well, okay. The one thing I am continuously watching every time an episode comes out is Dragon Ball Super.
Okay.
That's it.
And, you know, I'll have RuPaul's Drag Race in January. Yeah, so will you.
Yeah, I'll watch Drag Race.
That one. Now, I know that's a lie if you're going to try to tell me
but
you don't watch Drag Race.
As for anything on TV right now, no, I'm not watching anything. I'm mostly a YouTube watcher, so I watch the cuisine of the 18th century with James Townsend and Son.
I don't want to interrupt or anything, but
go ahead.
I was going to say, speaking of YouTube, actually, one channel that's been putting out stuff in the interim is Awesome Games Done Quick. They do these little, I don't know what they're called, but they're like small little tournament runs type that they're doing. So. They did one the other day that was, it's a Link to the Past randomizer. And so what that means is basically all the drops, like the different items, are randomized in the actual.
Oh, boy.
I've watched the Legend of Zelda randomizer.
Yes. So it's pretty interesting.
I have a friend that does Final Fantasy randomizer, like original NES Final Fantasy randomizer. And I think it's a similar concept.
Yeah, so that was kind of fun. I watched that for a good couple hours the other day. Nice. Yeah. But yeah, they've been putting out content like almost once a week.
But the other thing that I'm watching regularly on YouTube is Outside Xbox, which is a UK like gaming top best of list. And they don't just stick to Xbox stuff. I'm just saying that, you know, it's really funny. They have some good perspectives. And I've actually picked up a few. Like, I didn't know the Thresher Maul trick in Mass Effect 2. Where when you're doing Grunt's loyalty mission, there's a particular screw that you can stand behind and just shoot and shoot and shoot. And the thing can't hit you, but you can hit it.
Ah,
I didn't know about that.
There you go.
I just go head first into everything.
I always forget that YouTube is like a thing that people can like legitimately watch shows on. Like, it's a very different sort of thing. And you'd think I'd be more aware because I've always been very like, rah, 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 do a podcast, make a podcast. So you'd think I'd be the same way for YouTube and TV. And I am, but I just don't find that I have the time to sit down. I watch little things here and there, but I don't get into a lot of series.
Well, I also watch a lot of the NHK TV shows. So, I mean, I don't watch them regularly, so I can't say I am watching them. But I'll go through just big bursts of watching, like, Begin Japanology or Bento, or what is it called? Lunch On. It's all about Bento. And, you know, certain, like, arts and crafts shows. And I watch a lot of history stuff on YouTube because I love documentaries. I love history.
I like documentaries too, but like more like socially based ones. I don't watch a lot of like the history, like wars and stuff. I like the social
stuff. I like the history ones where they go into how events unfolded and affected people. More of the, I guess, combination of anthropology, sociology, and history. Okay. So that, because I think that if you don't look at history through the lens of someone who experienced it, then you can't see how it applies to modern life. And too many people don't want to look at history. Oh, that was terrible. It was a war, blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean? But when you look at it through the people's eyes, what they suffered, and then we see what's happening today, oh my God, you will cry because fuck what's going on right now.
I like watching, it's totally trash, but the internet historian on YouTube, and he does kind of documentary type features of trolling and memes and stuff.
God.
And it's actually kind of fascinating because it's stuff that I would have never heard about, but they go into great detail about stuff like Balloon Boy or, you know, DashCon and all the weird stuff that they do. Just, I don't know. It's pretty funny. I mean, it's trash because it's like these people are trolling people.
Right.
But it's entertaining to watch from an outside perspective.
Right. Okay. Well, speaking, I did want to mention real quick, because I don't think it made our show roll tonight, but I saw it floating around out there, because you brought up Awesome Games Done Quick.
Yeah.
The schedule is out for the next Awesome Games Done Quick, which would be the winter one in a couple
months. I'm mad.
Why are you mad?
Well, disappointed.
Why is that?
Because Super Metroid isn't on the list.
Yeah, Super Metroid. I don't know if that's about whatever happened, you know, last year. But I'm also disappointed because our pal and friend of the show, Flacco Jones, submitted for PT and again, sadly, did not get in. But, you know, they got a lot of talented people. I was looking because they actually have posted like what they accepted and what they rejected. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Like, there's a lot. I mean, it's no wonder Flacco has submitted several times and keeps getting bumped because there's just tons of stuff that gets submitted.
Maybe they can do another one three times a year.
So many speedrunners out there, for sure.
Maybe he can do his own marathon for charity and donate it to the Awesome Games Done Quick people.
Actually, I would love to see, you know, I know we've been talking about it for a long time, and maybe we're going to need some help from some people that are better event planners than we are, such as the folks that do SAC Gamer Collective, I believe is the new name, you know, our pals over there. Mm-hmm. Because especially with all the wildfires that's been going on here in Northern California, yeah. I'd really love to see. I don't know if you guys know, but like an old friend of the show, DDR Angel, she was like, luckily, last I heard, everything's okay. But I know like her life got turned upside down by the evacuations and all that stuff. And I'm sure she's not the only one that we know of that listens to the show that's really run into problems. So it would be really cool if we could kind of do something to help, because it's been, you know, even here in Sacramento, I mean, we're fine, guys. We're like 100 miles from everything. But like the air has been toxic here. Like, yeah. We kind of have to stay indoors. It's fine today. But I mean, like Monday, Tuesday, we're
still
bad.
Hazy, though.
Yeah. So, I mean.
Well, did you see from San Francisco as well?
Oh, yeah.
It was pretty terrible. Yeah. I just like the post. That's not fog.
Yeah.
This time.
But the I do. Well, Dan has done a marathon for Child's Play before. Mm. And we've got all the stuff set up at my house that we could stream.
Okay.
So all we have to do is just set up an account for donations and then donate the whole thing to whichever charity is handling the wildfires. It wouldn't be that hard.
Yeah, we'll figure something out, maybe hopefully in the coming months, because, you know, it's not like the needs are going to go away in 2 months. So we'll see what we can do. So,
and all else fails, there are charities that can use our services.
Lots
too.
Of worthy causes.
I'm associated with one. So
yeah. Anyway, I did want to mention in chat real quick, because I think this is a good point. Over at live.vognetwork.com, Bobby Blackwolf, who's on before us, says in chat, we all know Super Metroid will be a donation incentive. So there is that. Maybe we don't know the final answers yet. So that's good. Brad from Pod Culture says 24 hours of VOG game streaming. I'm sure there's enough of us. Hey, even if we raised $100, I'd be thrilled. That's $100 they didn't have before. So, you know, if it's a small turnout, who cares? You don't do it for the size of the turnout. You do it for the donations and awareness, even if it's just a little awareness. So, all right. Well, anyhow, I do want to get into some other gaming content and some of the news we'll talk about at the top of the show, because I know we went on some nerd tangents, but it's been, I don't think we have a lot of news tonight, but of course I say that, and those are the 4-hour shows. So let's kick off tonight's talking about loot boxes, because it seems like just in general, the concept of loot boxes has been in the news a lot, especially this week.
Because it seems to be getting worse. And the problem, here's what it is a lot of people dismiss loot boxes as, oh, it's cosmetic, oh, this and that.
Right.
But we've been seeing lately with a lot of games that they're specifically creating these games to push loot boxes, right, or they're taking aspects of the game out to put them in loot boxes because they can make extra money. And loot boxes are fine in like a free-to-play game, or even fine, like I don't blame Overwatch too much, because that is just cosmetic stuff.
Well, I kind of think that Overwatch is the reason everybody's doing it.
Of course.
Overwatch wasn't the first, but like Blizzard fans are like, I'm trying to think of a tactful way to say this, but Blizzard fans are different than a lot of other types of gamers. And I say that having done a World of Warcraft podcast for several years, which you guys all know Horde House was on the network. Okay, so I was a part of that community, and it's a great community. I'm not talking negative at all. I'm just saying that the Blizzard fans are very loyal to Blizzard products. And when Blizzard does, this is why I realize that even though not everybody gets it, like why Destiny 2 is in the Battle.net launcher, it's a brilliant move by Activision to sell more Destiny 2 on PC to an audience that probably didn't check it out on console. I mean, I'm sorry, you may not like totally understand that, but the way the Blizzard crowd is, if they can spend the money that they're making on gold in World of Warcraft or what have you on Destiny 2, another game, they're gonna do it. So like that was a move that was frankly brilliant by Activision. I mean, whether it's not the nice thing to do or not, but anyway,
well, Activision's been pretty bad with this stuff, and not only even before Destiny 2 with Call of Duty Modern Warfare Remastered, they just injected loot boxes in there. It's like, that, what the fuck, the original game didn't have that. And now, of course, I'm assuming with the new Call of Duty and with Advanced Warfare, I think he even has that system. Shadow of War was a pretty big one that they just kind of added this stuff in there. And then, of course, the one that recently got people pissed off, well, Forza, the new Forza game has that, which is more of like a pay-to-earn type scheme. But then the more of a pay-to-win type scheme with Battlefront 2. Remember Battlefront 2? They're like, oh, hey, yeah, we're going to release all these maps for free. We're not just going to sell you a really shitty base game and then force you to buy all the maps. Now we're going to offer it to you for free. But of course, then they're going to throw in this loot box system that's got a lot of mods that actually do affect gameplay. Mm-hmm. You know, some that if you actually level up. And that is actually, I believe the system to level up in the game is tied to the loot boxes. So it's unavoidable.
That's really, really similar to Overwatch. Overwatch does the free maps, the free characters. And as you level up, you get loot boxes.
No, it's the other way around.
You don't level up and
get loot boxes. You have to get loot boxes to level up.
Oh, that's a little, yeah, that's like a little, what can we change to be a little shadier? And okay, interesting.
So
I do want to get some comments in our chat room because I know you have some news. Like, why are we bringing this up tonight? Loot boxes are nothing new in the gaming community, but there's definitely some activity we're seeing this week. But I want to get to our chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Stoppy in chat says, I used to have no opinion on it, but yes, I'm seeing a lot of instances now where content seems to be cut out and held hostage in loot boxes. Let's see. Kassen says, I like the loot boxes that do boxed CE and LE version of PC games, but they're too expensive for me. Dungeon Buster says, loot boxes are just extensions of the mobile model, thanks mobile gaming. Kaijudo in chat says, the reason why they only do cosmetic is because we don't like pay to win. Look at what's going on with 2K18. Loot boxes have been going around since we had browser games. But it certainly does feel like, you know, browser games, I think, are kind of one thing because browser games are free to play. Mobile games are free to play, right? But Overwatch was $60.
Overwatch is a good example because I think it's done correctly. I don't think there's really an issue there because it is strictly cosmetic. For me, I don't give a shit about the cosmetic stuff, so it's cool to get one every now and then. It's like, oh, that's a pretty cool skin, but I'm not like, oh man, I really gotta like pay money to get the skin.
There's people that are like that, but
there
that's kind of on them. Right? And how you choose to spend your money, which if you want to buy 100 loot boxes so you can get that Symmetra dragon skin, well, hey, it is a pretty sweet skin.
But with that, though, I mean, there's definitely been a lot of people that have been opposed to it because, yeah, it is something that's kind of out of that whole free-to-play model, but you paid $60 for the game. And then, because it's not really the full game, because you need all the DLC, because that stuff's been sliced out of the game as well, so you have to pay for the season pass as well. And then they want you to pay for these loot boxes or paid modifications, as Bethesda likes to do with, you know, oh, hey, this modification is, it happens to be 800, you know, virtual currency points or whatever, but you can only buy the currency points in 750. So you really have to spend $15 to get this other thing. It's just, they tried to like cheat people in the best way possible because they know they make money and they know, well, these fans of the game, they're gonna be fine with it because it's just okay. They'll be annoyed, but they'll still buy the game. And yeah, that seems to be the case with a lot of like Destiny 2 players. They're fine with it because the game is good, but you know, the loot boxes are still there tempting people.
Ms. Dark Sakura over there in the fluffy chair, I'm curious on your hot take on loot boxes, because I know you don't really do Overwatch, but you have done mobile games. You've done Mass Effect, had them.
Yeah.
Dragon Age had them. So what's your hot take on loot boxes? Are you okay with them? Or are you kind of...
I'm okay with it. I don't multiplayer that much, and Overwatch makes me sick, so it's not my problem.
Right. But what about the other games you do play that have them?
What games do I play that have them?
Mass Effect.
I don't do multiplayer in it anymore.
Okay.
And I never did multiplayer in Dragon Age.
Okay.
Okay.
I thought you kind of did more loot boxes back when, like, Mass Effect 3 was...
I did it for Mass Effect 3, but I didn't pay for any of them.
Yeah, but it's not always multiplayer games either. Shadow of War. I mean, granted, that has a multiplayer aspect to it, but
right,
it's in the single player.
Right. Well, she doesn't play that. But neither, to be fair, neither do I.
Yeah. None of this... It doesn't matter to me.
Okay.
I mean, the only loot boxes I care about is the Pusheen loot crate.
Oh, you mean physical loot boxes.
Right.
Well,
listen, Tangible stuff.
You know what? Actually, let's talk about that. Because doesn't this phenomenon kind of exist in the real world?
No.
Okay. Any convention I go to, any of them, always have for sale those little question mark bricks that for like $20, and they say two of them have a NES Classic or something really highly desirable in them. The rest of them have bullshit unload overstock stuff, but because it's nerd stuff, nobody really gets upset because they're like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, that's like a raffle or gambling.
It's an I am Groot ruler or something, you know? It's I needed a ruler.
But yeah, I mean, so there's been a lot of like kind of pushback with loot boxes because of all, I mean, recently there's just been a ton of games, tons of big games coming out that all have them and all kind of unnecessarily have them, basically.
So what's some of the stuff going around this week, if you don't mind?
So, of course, you know, they've turned to the different ratings boards to kind of get their hot take on it as well. The ESRB says, you know, they don't consider loot boxes to be gambling. They just, you know, it's because I think mainly you don't actually, you know, win money from it. They don't see it as something of like value. You're not really like, it's not the same format as gambling. Basically, they say ESRB does not consider loot boxes to be gambling. While there is an element of chance in these mechanics, the player is always guaranteed to receive in-game content, even if the player unfortunately receives something they don't want. We think of it as a similar principle to a collectible card game. Sometimes you open a pack and get brand new holographic card you had your eye on for a while, but other times you'll end up with a pack of cards you already have. So they're saying that because you get something each time, it's not really considered gambling.
I think they make a darn good point with the fact that Magic the Gathering isn't considered gambling, and it's a similar type of deal. Yeah, I can support that. I mean, you're right. Like, you can't turn around and sell, you know, Blizzard walked away from that Diablo 3 auction house a long time ago, and they don't really have anything like that in any of their other games. Maybe if something like that still existed, and I mean, I know Diablo 3 doesn't do loot boxes, but let's make believe it did, you know, then maybe that would be gambling because you could turn around and sell the stuff that you get in the loot boxes.
But, I mean,
that doesn't exist. To be clear, that doesn't exist, but could it in 5 years?
But is that how we're going to get out of it being gambling? Is that you're saying that you always get something? Well, you know, what if what you get is essentially worthless?
It is a game of chance, but it's not gambling. There's a difference. Again, Magic the Gathering isn't gambling.
Right.
So, and you know, but that analogy is absolutely right. In Magic the Gathering, you're not going to get Sarah Angel. It's like the one card I can remember the name of. You're not going to get a Sarah Angel every booster pack just because you want one. In fact, you might buy, like some of my friends did in high school back when we all played, you might buy 20 packs trying to get a Hypnotic Spectre. Am I nailing these card names? It's been a long time, you guys. I just don't want Raginator sitting there screaming at me.
Or Shivan Dragon.
My magic knowledge is in the pooper. But
or, you know, back in the Black Border days. Ooh, I got a Lotus.
Did you play like a black? I bet you played like a black deck. Black like your
My
heart.
Tournament deck was a black deck with Lord of the Pit and Hypnotic Spectres.
I had a black, white, and red deck.
My tournament deck... I found out, I played it just to find out that it actually got banned the next tournament.
Oh, shoot.
I made it like fourth place.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go. See, we weren't gambling at all.
All right. Well, and then, of course, Peggy, they had their approach, you know, basically saying our approach is similar to that of the ESRB. I think all ratings board do, UK, SK in Germany as well. The main reason is for that we cannot define what constitutes gambling. That is the responsibility of the National Gambling Commission. Our gambling content descriptor is given to games that simulate or teach gambling as it's done in real-life casinos, racetracks, etc. If Gambling Commission were to state that loot boxes are a form of gambling, then we would have to adjust our criteria to that.
Interesting. So this is about the advisory and why a game like Vegas Stakes on the Super Nintendo, let's say, because I don't know why, but it's the first casino game that comes to my mind, probably because it's still one of the best to this day. Vegas Stakes would get a gambling warning. Because if you remember that game, it was about you actually played blackjack. You played crap. What were the games in that? It was like blackjack, craps, slot machine. I remember there were like Keno maybe. It was like five games in there. And remember that was the one where like random people would come up to you while you're playing the game. And there would be like the little, like that's what kind of made it unique is that there'd be the little, like they'd say, oh, can you help me by giving me $100 or whatever. And sometimes they'd, it was, that was gambling too. Sometimes you'd. They'd come back or they'd run away forever. You'd never see the money again. Sometimes they'd be like, I won a lottery thing and I'm going to give you part of the prize because you helped me and you made more money. You remember that game?
No.
Anyone? Jamie? You know the old classic games very well. Vegas Stakes? Super Nintendo, remember that?
I didn't play it.
Swear to God. Next time you're gone, classic game.
I don't like gambling, really.
So being that, you know, the ESRB and Peggy can't really rule on it, some other sites have taken to make a more... you know, apparent approach against this, basically saying, listen, we're going to take a stand against this. We're not really, you know, for it. Let's make a way that we can make people aware of this. So one of the sites that's taking aim at this is Open Critic, and they're actually looking into ways that they can basically display what kind of loot boxes are in a game, you know, whether a game has loot boxes, you know, if it's pay to win, that type of stuff.
What about the whole thing... And I know you don't really have an answer for this, but I know a couple months ago on the show, we were talking about how China was pushing an issue where, because, you know, Overwatch is doing well there too, but China was going to make them publish what the percentage was of rare, because we kind of don't know, like, what the percentage is. Like, what is the chance that you're going to get Symmetra's dragon skin? You don't know. Like, you just know that sometimes rare stuff shows up. But China was going to make them publish the numbers, but then I think I heard that recently, Blizzard found a way around it. Like, they now you buy currency in the game, and that's all you're spending money on. You use the currency to get loot boxes or something like that. Like, they're able to get around. They got around it somehow in China.
Exactly.
So we still don't know what those rates are.
So if they were to make any sort of gambling laws regarding loot boxes, they would just change the way that they're doing it so they can skirt around them. So... that's one site, at least, that's looking to do that.
But let me ask you this. Let me ask you this hard question and everybody in chat as well. Would you base your decision on if you're going to buy a game or not on whether it has loot boxes? And I asked that to our chat as well, live.vognetwork.com, while I asked Loki and
depends
Jamie
what kind of loot boxes. If it's going to be like, you know, Overwatch, where it's just cosmetic stuff for multiplayer, then yeah, I'm fine with that. If it's something that's going to be basically heavily involved in the game, like Shadow War or Forza, or you know, some of these that have basically in one game you've had it, you know, as a feature, and now it's a consumable, and you that feature's gone because it's locked behind loot boxes, where it seems like a, you know, massive cash grab from the publisher, then no, I probably would avoid the game.
Just fucking wait for Nintendo to decide they're going to start doing loot boxes. I guess I kind of... do they in the mobile games? I bet this Animal Crossing mobile does loot boxes. Just you wait.
That's fine. Once again, that's
yeah,
fine
but mobile's,
if it's a free game.
Yeah,
it's a
true.
Free
that's
game.
True.
You
that's
know
true.
What? You're paying nothing for the game. They can throw whatever the fuck they want at you. I mean, honestly, that's my fair. Opinion. If it's a free game you're playing, you're losing nothing if you quit that game. The problem comes to, like, if it's Super Mario Odyssey and everything's locked behind a loot box, then I'm going to be fucking pissed because I've paid $60 for the game.
So this Metacritic or Open Critic or whatever it was you said was looking at the advisories. They need to probably clarify what kind of loot box it is besides just putting out a loot box warning. Like, because there's a difference between cosmetic-only loot boxes and...
or if it's like a loot box that's in, you know, with in-game currency that you earn in the game, you don't pay real money for.
Dungeon Buster just brought that up in our chat room, saying the new Assassin's Creed game has that. You can buy them, but you can also use in-game currency, and they've been very clear to say you can use in-game currency to buy loot boxes.
Right. Well, that's you can do that in, I think, Shadow War as well, but, you know, of course they're going to make the in-game currency hard to get and, you know, take forever, and, yeah.
Tiger Claw in chat says, these so-called loot boxes seem to only apply to multiplayer games. You won't see loot boxes on single-player games. Well, is that the case of the Shadow of War?
The Shadow of War technically does have a multiplayer portion, but the thing, though, is most of that is meant for the single-player game. Like, at the end of the game, it's very grindy, and that's where that comes into play. But, yeah, it just so happens. I mean, most games nowadays are, they have a multiplayer portion to them.
Right.
So it's going to be hard to find a game that doesn't. But, like, some of the games that they mentioned, NBA 2K18 has them. You know, I remember...
Bobby Blackwolf says Forza 7 has loot boxes in single player.
Yes.
So maybe this trend is, continuing. And some folks in chat, you know, Rama, Dungeon Buster, both saying no, this would not influence their decision. Dungeon Buster elaborating, I don't like the trend as represented in Battlefront 2, but not all games implement loot box rewards the same way. So... And Dungeon Buster saying, I've been playing Shadow of War and have not opened a single loot box. I agreed, but not checkmarked the legal agreement at the start. Interesting.
Okay.
So, I mean, and to be fair, I can't really judge the loot boxes in Shadow of War because I'm not playing that game right now.
Well, yeah, they said that most of the game you don't really need, you know, the loot boxes aren't really, you can use them, but it's not going to be, like, super important. It's just towards the end of the game, the end game stuff, that to get the true ending, you're going to really need to level your characters because it's really hard to defeat the last, or, you know, stave off the last few raids or whatever, and that's where it becomes more tempting to get the true ending.
So, speaking of loot boxes now, we had some continued development and Shadow of War, actually, right? So, now, this is one of those things that doesn't surprise me how the player base has responded, right, Loki?
Yeah, so, of course, you know, with anything that people don't like, they're gonna hack it. They're gonna mod it. So, that's what happened. Apparently, they have found a way to get loads of the Mirian, which I guess is the in-game currency, to keep buying loot chests forever. And so I guess there's using like just basic programs like the cheat engine allow you to get the in-game currency. So that's not unexpected.
Hacker's going to hack.
They'll patch it. They'll put some anti-cheat.
Yeah,
malware
but
in there.
Isn't the economy or whatever you want to call it, like, already kind of hosed? I'm really surprised it didn't, like, because Blizzard somehow seems to have never had this happen, but I would assume, like, Blizzard games pretty much at this point have to always be connected. That's the other thing about Blizzard games. Blizzard breaks all these rules that, you like, you know, oh, the community's never going to allow that, or the community's going to push back on this. Blizzard gets away with it every damn time Blizzard's up on that stage. Oh, Diablo 3, you're so beautiful. Right?
You're a model. But you look like Linda Evangelista.
That's right. Exactly.
But we did have a problem with Diablo 3 being online only. I mean, when the servers weren't working. But yeah, they were still
but
working.
But how long did that last? How long did that last?
People give...
We forgave and forget. We forgave and forgot the auction house controversy. And maybe I'm part of the problem. I love Diablo 3.
This is just...
Now... I love it now.
This is just online passes all over again. Because they're going to make the excuse that we need extra money to run our games and stuff. You know what? You make tons of money. Because you're not paying your fucking employees enough. You're not paying, you know, the royalties to people that, like, they would get in other industries. So stop fucking complaining. You have plenty of money.
Mm-hmm. And to be fair to Blizzard, I think, and I think this is important to say, as somebody who is a Blizzard fan and plays a lot of Blizzard games, I think part of the reason they get away with, like, Overwatch is always online and there's really nothing you can do about it, is because they make fucking quality games. Like, Blizzard doesn't really make bad games, at least not in my opinion. I mean, they misfired with Diablo 3, but they did what they had to do to fix it. You know what I mean? Like, that's how Blizzard gets away with it. So, just, you know, to be clear, Blizzard gets away with it because they make fucking rock-solid games that everybody wants to play. So, anyway, is there anything else on loot box? I thought we had one other little tidbit.
No, that was it.
Oh, that's it. Okay, well, there you go. So, yeah, loot boxes in games. There you go. I think we will move on into our gaming weeks. But first, I'll do housekeeping first real fast. We are not going to be here, and actually my co-hosts are going to hear this for the first time. But I've been saying this for a couple weeks that we probably won't be here Veterans Day weekend. We're definitely not going to be here Veterans Day weekend because I am definitely going to be out of town. So Alan and I decided we're going to go to Seattle because we want to. And, like, Southwest had a big sale, so we got tickets like $80 to Seattle. So why not?
That's a pretty good price.
That's a pretty good price, right? We were looking at some other places, but it was still a lot of money for Chicago, and I think we were looking at Vegas, and but Seattle was like dirt cheap, so we were like, let's do it. We went to Seattle for our 5-year anniversary. We had a great time, so, and I know a couple people up there, so we'll go back and do some of the stuff we didn't do the first time, so... there you go. So for that reason, we will not be having a show Veterans Day weekend, and that is November 13th, I think, because Veterans, we fly out. No, we fly back on the 13th. November 12th is the date of the show, so no show that day. All right, we're going to move into our gaming weeks and talking about the types of games we have been playing this week. Darkstalker stepped out for just a moment, so I'll go ahead and start with Loki. And how was your gaming week?
I didn't play too much, unfortunately, because I had planned to play a bunch of things, but I, once again, am still stuck with being obsessed with Legos, and not necessarily building Legos. I've been actually doing stuff with I started with a Lego digital designer, and then I moved on to this other program called Stud.io, which allows you to manipulate things a little bit better than the Lego digital designer, because they don't let you just drop bricks in there in certain ways. So I was been messing with that, but I did play some games. I picked up because I've been checking, like, we have a Target nearby, and so they always have stuff in clearance. Like the other day, I didn't pick it up because I already have enough instruments at home, but they had Guitar Hero, the new one, with a guitar for like $20.
Oh, shoot. Yeah. Where, at Target?
Like, yeah, the Rancho.
Shit, I might go buy that.
I didn't, it wasn't there last time I went there. Last time I went there, they had, one of the games I did pick up this week, so I haven't played it yet, but I've been getting more VR games. So I picked up, they had a couple things digitally on sale. So I got the PlayStation Worlds game because that was selling to like $10. And then I also picked up, what was the other one? There's another VR game that picked, Drive Club VR, because I think that was also down to like $10. So I picked those up and digitally. And then Eagle Flight, which is that weird Ubisoft game, they had it for $12. So I picked that up as well because it looks fun. So they had that. I was mainly looking for, because they're closing at one time, the Lego Dimensions stuff, and I wanted to get some of those sets because they're down like $5.
I still need to get that Midway set before it disappears. I really want that
one.
Yeah,
it's going to be hard to find. I mean,
I saw it in a store not that long ago.
I did too.
I think it was in a Toys R Us. And
they had them at the Target and Sunrise, if I remember correctly. But
okay.
Because I look at that stuff every time I go in.
How can you not?
Well, yeah, because I'm like, because they've been marking them down. Like, occasionally I'll see deals that, like, $1. I'm like, oh, damn, I want that.
So there's, like, a routine. So, you know, our pal Shane, my pal Shane that I hang out with all the time, who hosts a show here on the network called Ranger Pride. They're on a little hiatus right now, but they'll be back. Shane likes to go, and if you listen to Ranger Pride, you know he likes to go looking for all the toys, right? So sometimes he'll con me into going on a toy hunt, because it'll be like, well, let's go on a toy hunt, and then we'll do lunch or something like that. And so, you know, we'll have ourselves a fun Saturday morning. So we have a routine. Like, we go to Toys R Us, and we look for the Power Ranger thing he's looking for, and then we always go, we look at Amiibos, we look at video games, like, we just have a habit of all the sections in the store.
They had
we go
the
to,
Disney Infinity stuff marked down. I almost picked up, they had some of the Finding Dory stuff there, and I was like, man, my kids would really like that, but we have too many of those figures. They don't play the game, and my wife would be pissed if I picked more of these up, so I'm like, I'm just going to not.
Yeah.
Because they don't play it.
Send them to Bobby Blackwolf, he plays.
But I knew they had a Dory set, but I hadn't seen it in any of the stores, and now they have it there.
Oh, there
so,
you go.
Yeah, but cool. I didn't pick it up.
All right. Anything else for your gaming week?
Just a usual clicker game, although I'm starting to get very tired of it, so I don't know how long we can continue with that. I mean, Pokemon Go may be a thing that'll be start up again for a little bit, but yeah, I'm just like, it's gotten to be more of like a chore, and it's just, there's like no point to it anymore. I just kind of like, why am I wasting my time with this?
Well, I'll lead into my gaming week then and say, I've been playing a little Pokemon Go. I don't view it as a chore. Like, well, I will say this, like, you know, the one thing I want to do in Pokemon Go, and I think you kind of have to choose, like, what are your goals in Pokemon Go? Do you want to raid gyms all the day and control all the gyms? Do you want, you know, to collect all the Pokemon and level them all up or what? So I really want to fill out the Pokedex, right? So right now in Pokemon Go, this month is where the Enti raids are happening, which one of the legendaries. But, like, it is, like, the raiding activity has died off significantly from when it was the legendary birds and from when it was Raikou last month. Now, I'm not saying Pokemon Go is dead, but Pokemon Go is certainly not what it was over the summer or even just a couple months
ago. It's taking a nap.
It's a siesta, a little siesta. Pokemon,
well, I'd say
Pokemon
it's probably
siesta.
Like dropping off faster as it goes along. Instead of it kind of taking a while to kind of dip, it's going a lot faster.
So I was legit worried, like, I was not going to find a group to get an Entei. And I have a little chat. We use a chat program called GroupMe for some of the local people here. And so usually when raids happen, and last month, like, raids every day, every night. This month, once in a while, but, like, so they don't happen every day. So, and I'm not available every day, so I have to be careful sometimes. So we tried to go do something a couple nights ago. I didn't get Entei on the first go. But today we went to a local park over here that has two gyms, and by coincidence, they both had Entei at the same time. And so we got to do two Entei raids back to back, and I did catch an Entei at one of those raids. So, and it was like this big sigh of relief, like, phew, I'm not going to miss it. Because I was, so next month, my lesson is learned. I need to be out there day one, which is what that's going to be like Halloween, to go out and get the ice dog, or I can't remember the name, S something, but the ice dog. I have to go up, make sure I go out and get day one, because that's gonna be the easiest day to do it. So I was getting a little worried, but you know, I still, Pokemon Go is still a good way to gamify my walks. Like Fitbit kind of gamifies a lot with walking. Pokemon Go kind of does that, because it's like, oh, I can hatch eggs, and I still, you know, I could still make some good Dragonite and, you know, use candy for things. There's things in eggs. You know, you get a lot of Stardust from that. So it's kind of like, eh, you know, I'm not like obsessed with Pokemon Go, but it's a nice little distraction and incentivizer for me to make sure I get up on my lunch and actually walk outside the building, as opposed to sit and play on the internet the entire lunch in my office. And then, whoops, lunch is over and I got to get back to work. You know, it's a nice way to make sure like I get out and get moving. So, yeah. So I have been playing a little bit of Pokemon Go. Kaijudo in chat over at live.vognetwork.com says it's in trouble because players know the Russians used it to hack our election.
How would they have used it to hack our election?
I don't remember what the story was, but I think it was something about people naming their Pokemon to certain controversial terms and putting them in gyms and then taking pictures of it and spreading it on Facebook. But I don't want to get heavy into politics, but the reality is it ain't just Pokemon Go they were messing with to try to influence the election. We'll leave it at that. I think that almost speaks to...
I know, I base my election choices on the names of Pokemon and gyms.
I think that just speaks volumes about what a cultural phenomenon Pokemon Go even was. I mean, think about it. How many video games since Polybus have you heard about a government conspiracy to change our way of life? Like, it's been a while. So anyway... Yeah, that's what it was. Thank you, Bobby. Bobby's kind of echoing what I'm saying. They didn't hack the app itself, but it was an ad campaign with people naming their Pokemons. Other comments on Pokemon Go in chat. SSG100 Matt says, we had 30 people raiding for an Entei at a random mall in Connecticut. We were shocked because this mall was in the middle of nowhere. Okay, so maybe my 30 people in Connecticut, that's not bad. So maybe my experience is different. Bobby Blackwolf jokes about Pokemon Go. It fainted, and it will never wake back up, ever. It didn't faint. It might be down to like 5 hit points, but it didn't faint. Other games I've been playing besides Pokemon Go. So I did a live stream of Cuphead after the show last week, and that was a lot of fun. Like it is. I love the art style, the music, the way the game feels. Like it's a solid platformer. Like Jamie, have you and Dan checked out Cuphead? Because I really feel like you guys would love this.
I haven't had a chance yet.
Okay, yeah, definitely at some point check it out. I mean, it's infuriatingly hard. But, like, just the, I think you're going to love, like, the art style and the presentation.
I've been following it for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
And chatting with the developers from time to time on Twitter.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's been on my list for a while. It's just right now I'm still working on the convention guide for DerpyCon. So that's been taking my spare time.
There you go. I'll check on you with your full gaming week in a minute. But let me finish up real quick. Let's see. Dungeon Buster says, you did great at Cuphead, Rob. Yeah, thank you. I beat the tutorial, so I got through that. And I beat a few of the bosses on stream. So, you know, I am allowed to continue to do a video game podcast, I suppose, after that. But all that crap, I'm saying that very tongue-in-cheek. Here's the funny thing about that. You guys might get a kick out of this. So I decided, because I felt like that was a really good stream, because I actually had a generous Twitch person put like 86 viewers on me at one point. So like I had quite a few people watching at the end. So I feel like all that energy and a lot of people watching made it a really fun stream. So I was like, you know, I don't do this with a lot of my streams. I'm going to put this one on YouTube. So if you want to see the archive of the stream, you can see it either on my Twitch or you can see it on YouTube. You know, I waited the 24 hours you have to do, and then I put it up. Here's the hilarious part. So within 2 days, my YouTube has like 10 views because I wrote a tweet about it and 10 people clicked it. And it gets flagged for copyright infringement by this company. And I don't even remember the name of it. It was something like EBC Maker, EBCD Maker or something like that. I was like, what is it? I tried to Google it. I couldn't find anything. I searched for tweets about it. And there was only one other guy going, these guys flagged my video. And I was about to go off on YouTube. And this whole, because here we go, this whole thing where the people that make the videos just fucking get screwed by these people that come in and have no right to do so. But I was like, all right, before you go off, check what the rules on Cuphead are. So I was doing my research, and sure enough, Studio MDHR, or whoever, sorry if I messed up the acronym, but the studio that made Cuphead has a page that very specifically says, yes, stream the games, put the games on YouTube, make money off them, we don't care, get it out there. You know, so I filed an appeal. I said, oh, hell no. I filed an appeal. I linked to that YouTube and so forth. I will give YouTube credit. When I sent my appeal, they re-enabled the video right away. And I think that's a change from what it was before. So, and it said the claimants have 30 days to respond. And after a day, the claim disappeared. I never got an email saying that, oh, they accepted it or whatever. But I fought the law and I won. And it feels good, or at least so far, knock on wood. But so far, it's completely, the claim has completely disappeared from my account. So, yeah, take that.
Because I think if you counter, then the next step is they have to file an actual lawsuit or something. Yeah. But they don't own it, so they.
But it's like
they're not going to.
Who the hell is this company? And I'm like, you know, if the Cuphead Studio had a page that said "Do not post the videos and monetize them," I would have said, "Well, I don't have monetization anyway because my YouTube channel has 9,960 views." So I'm like just shy of 10,000. I had it at one point, but I got turned away or whatever when they put the 10,000 view, because I don't honestly use YouTube a lot. I've really been trying to focus my efforts on Twitch. But when I was at Dragon Con and on the podcast track, I took some of the advice. I believe it or not, even though I didn't take all the advice, like start a Patreon to heart, I took some of the advice, like get your stuff out there on as many platforms as possible. I took that stuff to heart. So I was like, you know what? I do need to be pushing more of my Twitch stuff to YouTube. So I was trying to do that. And then it was just funny that like this first video gets flagged and I have to fight it and all that stuff. But the experience could have been worse. I guess I'll leave it that way. But if the studio had a page that said, don't do it, then I would have said, okay, my bad. And I would have taken it down and just been like, okay, I won't do that again. So, but that was
a lot
case.
Of indie game studios don't give a shit.
Yeah. SSG100 Matt in chat says, yeah, these BS video flaggers. I have a friend who does YouTube full time and he has to deal with this nonsense. He often has to request a manual review on these claims. Has anybody ever tried to like class action lawsuit these third party companies? Surely that happened at some point with the bigger streamers. I'm not going to be able to do that shit, but people like
sort of
Markiplier might be able to.
So not really, but like, you know, there is that whole case against Alex Maurer right now, which is kind of wrapping up.
Oh, yeah,
and so,
that thing.
So basically, she had a certain chance to respond, and she responded late. And so now they are filing a motion to strike and all this stuff. So it's almost over. So when it does end up, if they do win it, end up winning, which they probably will, then that does open it up to the fact that she was filing false DMCAs, and they could file a class action lawsuit against her for lost revenue because she did it to hundreds.
That could be an interesting precedent too. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, because I mean, it seems like anybody can file a claim, and you don't even have to be the copyright owner of it, and you know, it's gonna just fuck everybody over. And what you I mean, you could even just say, "Oh yeah," and then you know, you can. Some people do this; they'll wait the 30 days that they have to appeal. And so before, they used to not get any revenue for that. I think now it goes into an escrow account or something like that. And then at the very last second, they'll just say, okay, we're dropping our claim. But that was 30 days you weren't getting revenue. And by that time, you know, who's going to see your video?
Right. So, all right. Anyway, what else am I game of the week? Let me quickly say Final Fantasy 14 got a patch on Tuesday. So I hadn't played in like a month, but that was enough to get me to check it out again. So I've been playing that a little bit. And I'm going to do a live stream tonight after the show. Stardew Valley on Nintendo Switch. I'm going to play that for the first time. I played it on PC before, but I honestly don't remember it at all. It was like over a year ago and I played once and I don't remember it at all. So I'm going to, but my Twitter has been lighting up with people who love Stardew Valley on the Switch. And I was like, it's only $10 because I already had leftover credit on my account. So I was like, you know what? Let's do it. I'm going to buy Stardew Valley on Switch. So we're going to play that after the show tonight. So I think that's it for my game of the week. I've talked enough. So Jamie, we'll circle back to you. Sorry we missed you the first go around, but how was your game of the week?
I'm playing Ragnarok Online again, officially on a free server.
Did that whole little pouring clicky-click game make you want to go back?
Yeah. It's like a quick leveling server, so I'm already like rebirth level, you know, high thief or something. Oh. Sorry, I'm eating a bagel. it got stuck in my teeth. I'm also, of course, still playing Idle Pouring and Pokemon Go and that other... Oh, yeah, Miitomo. I put Danganronpa V3 on hold because, like I said, I still want to stream it. But it's going to have to wait until I've got the con guide done, which, you know, my deadline I thought was this weekend. Thankfully, it's not. But busy, busy.
There you go.
So that and other personal things going on.
I've still been busy, too, because I mentioned this last week. I've still been busy with that Big Brother thing I talked about. I wasn't first voted out, so that's a victory for me because I thought I would be. But it's still going. So it's taking... maybe 90% of the time it was. So I have a little more time to do stuff, but not a lot because just like my Skype is constantly going crazy from that game. But it's fun and I'm meeting new people. So, yeah. Anyway.
That's it.
That's it for your game of week. That's it for all our game of weeks. I already talked about housekeeping. And by the way, Jamie, no show Veterans Day weekend. I dropped that on us for the first time. Alan and I are going to Seattle.
Have fun.
Yeah. Thank you. We will. I earned it, damn it. This has been a shit year. I am ready to fucking go to Seattle and have fun. All right. Let's get to some gaming news. Loki, start us off, would you?
Yes. So Nintendo is looking to get more adult games on the Switch. So that's kind of a change because before they used to kind of not put those types of games on there because the system was more of a family-friendly system. But they seem to be kind of moving in the adult theme area as well. So, for example, they're saying that games like Doom, Knights of Azure 2, Bride of the New Moon, Shinobi Rifle, Senran and Kagura coming to the Switch, of course, is a little bit of a change because those are definitely more an adult-oriented game. They're saying that, the creator of Galgun 2 actually was surprised by Nintendo's reaction to their pitch of releasing that game on their platform. He said, I thought it wouldn't be possible to release such a game for the Switch, but surprisingly, Nintendo gave me positive feedback. So it seems like they're a little bit more open to those types of games on there, which is good, because, honestly, you have to... catering to children's fine, because there's plenty of games that do that, but you got to cater to as many people as possible. So why not? I think already they're kind of taking steps in the right direction, especially with this, cross-play and stuff. All they need to do now is just get rid of those fucking friend codes, and then you'll be on board. But it seems to be moving in the right direction.
So more blood and more guts on the Switch.
More titties! More titties on the Switchy!
How about some dongs to make it fair? All right.
Sure.
Thank you, Loki. I appreciate the blessing.
With that HD rumble, you feel the dong in your hand. It's like there's a dick in my hand.
I don't think they vibrate unless you have like additives.
No.
Accessories.
Oh, I see. Well, there's a lot of...
it's not supposed to vibrate. It's like, how they have the whole ice cubes in the controller demo type thing. So you wouldn't really vibrate it, but like it would, shake the controller back and forth and you'd feel the weight of it flopping about,
Flopping.
Flopping, yeah.
Okay.
All right. Anyway, we'll see. Maybe more adult games coming to Switch. What about Night Trap? because they've been re-releasing that everywhere. Night Trap going to come out on Switch?
That's hot garbage, so I don't really know if we need that game.
I just feel like whenever it's adult games, it always comes back to Night Trap, like the OG adult game.
What was that game that was at E3 a decade ago?
Feel 3 or something.
Feel
like
3.
That. Something
that's
like that.
It. Feel 3 for the Wii. For the Switch.
Why not put like Five Nights at Freddy's? I'm surprised that isn't on there already.
I'm kind of surprised too. Maybe it's not as easy as you'd think to, because he made it in some type of game maker program, so maybe it's not as easy to port it over to the Switch.
Mm.
But maybe it's inevitable at some point. I also kind of feel Five Nights at Freddy's might be a little bit past its prime.
Like probably.
But then again, I mean, fucking, just in the past couple weeks, we've had Axiom Verge and Stardew Valley and these games that have come out on plenty of other consoles even years ago. And I feel like there's a lot of Nintendo fans that are kind of living these things for the first time.
Well, I mean, you know, like I think with the Wii U was, and they didn't really focus too much on indies, but like indies seem to be a little, have more visibility because there wasn't so much on the platform. And I think that's kind of the same scenario with Switch is, there's not a ton of things on the platform right now, so you can get that visibility for your game.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, if there's, you know, those games coming out few and far between, you definitely have more people looking at your game.
No, that's a very good point. I think Nintendo's really leveraged their eShop a lot better this time, and you can't say there aren't a lot of games on the Switch right now. I mean, granted, there are not a lot of AAA titles, but there's a lot of, you know,
a lot of games on the Switch
stuff.
You can download digitally, except not all at the same time because your Switch only has 32 gigabytes of storage, and that
you
was really
technically you can expand it. Technically,
I shouldn't have to.
Technically, all right.
I shouldn't have to do that.
All right. Let's talk about Microsoft a little bit. Microsoft, you know, the Kinect has kind of had one foot out the door for a little while now. And you may not have realized, but when the Xbox One S launched last year, which was the smaller Xbox One, which is the only Xbox One regular there's going to be now, there used to be a little adapter that you could get with it for free that would allow the Kinect to be used on this console. It's basically a USB to Kinect adapter, okay? But that promotion, you may not realize, that ended in March this year. So you can no longer get that adapter for free.
Oh, no. All those Kinect games I'm not going to be able to play.
Well, just to be clear, and the reason why I bring this up, Xbox One X will not have a similar offer, and that was confirmed by Aaron Greenberg, executive for Xbox, on Twitter. I can't believe we're confirming news via Twitter, but here we are in 2017. Aaron Greenberg on Twitter said, "We provided free adapters for a good part of last year following the Xbox One S launch, but that program has ended." So,
well, I don't think they're selling the Kinect anymore.
Well, to be fair, is it completely discontinued? It's probably harder to find. You probably don't get a lot of shelf space.
I don't think that they're...
But I bet you could probably go on Amazon and get one still.
Oh, right. I mean,
but a lot of it's
going to
be
used.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot
of
used.
I don't think they're selling it anymore because I can't honestly name you. I would assume Just Dance supports it, but I think
that is still an assumption.
That's still an assumption. I mean, just like that they support the Move controller, but I don't think you need the Move controller for it anymore.
Right.
It's all phones. But... yeah, I don't think there's not any games I can think of that are coming out. It's like, man, that's a Kinect game. Like, even those, well, okay, now I take that back. There is a couple games do support it, but those are those re-released Kinect Adventure games, remember, that they had, like the Disney Adventure one, that are coming out with controller support now, but they still support Kinect because it's, you know, like an HD remaster.
Okay.
But that's like,
a very
who
slim.
Who gives a shit?
Yeah, it's really
slim. No one's looking forward to that.
I do want to point out, Rama in chat says Microsoft is still selling the Kinect. Brad actually provides the link to Amazon. So there you go.
I'm sure they got inventory that they want to move. None of that inventory you're going to see in stores, though.
So even though we're not going to bury the Kinect yet, the Kinect is certainly... it's, you know, with the Xbox One X, they're not focusing on Kinect. The message is 4K, fucking beautiful gaming. That's the message on Xbox One X. It is not Kinect anymore. So, you know, they're going to keep pushing the beautifulness of games like Forza 7 and Crackdown 3 when it comes out next year and the other stuff that has the Xbox One X.
I've already forgotten about Crackdown 3.
Whoops. Yeah. So I'd be curious to see how that little console does this holiday for Microsoft. It's going to be very, very interesting.
I would think it'd do well. I would assume better.
I just kind of worry that this, well, I don't know. Like, definitely the Xbox One X has its audience. I don't think it's going to move the number of units that the Switch does this holiday, but does it need to? Maybe not. you know, the Xbox One X is a high-end piece of hardware.
I don't know.
It's going to move high-end types of numbers.
I'm
that's
sure
it, where the target should
it'll
be.
Do better when there's more 4K content out there.
True.
Because I think right now it's still very early. It's kind of like where 3D TVs were for a while, where they were really pushing that. It was almost too early. I mean, the 4K TVs have been out for a while now, but it's just like, is it necessary? Like, do you really feel like that you need to upgrade or anything? I don't feel like that yet. I mean, it would be a nice to have, but it's not something I'm looking to go out and do right away until my TV dies. And then, yeah, I'll get 4K TV then.
That's kind of where I'm at. And remember, I'd mentioned this after E3. It's like, I'm excited to do 4K gaming on PC. But even that, I think, you know, the money that I probably would have spent on a 4K graphics card, I just bought a vacation with. So, yeah, it's probably going to wait till 2018.
Or
so
just,
I won't be able to do Destiny.
Or just take
4K,
that,
that's okay.
You know, don't do 4K, do like 1440p or something like that, and just drop it down a little bit, and then you have like killer frame rate to go with it, and
oh, yeah,
enhanced everything.
That's kind of, yeah, like even, or I can play like 2K, still runs pretty decent on the card I
have.
So that's probably what I'll end up doing. So, I can still do 4K movies and all that stuff just fine. That all runs great on my rig. So, you know, I still have all that. But yeah, I'm probably just going to wait a little bit on the gaming portion of that. But, I will say this, the Xbox has now become my living room console because my PlayStation 4 got moved into the office so I could do more streaming with it. I still play games on PlayStation 4, but I do my Hulu and CBS for Star Trek and all this stuff. I do all that on Xbox now. I don't do it on PlayStation. So just kind of an interesting shift. I've been kind of having to use my Xbox more for that media stuff so I can watch on the TV in the living room, and the experience has been fine. So, you know, it's pretty easy to grab new apps. And I do like, I will give, it is much easier if I were to say, download episodes of RuPaul's Drag Race, which I would never do. But let's say I did. Like, it's very easy to put them on a USB drive and then plug that into my Xbox One and just play them right off that. So, which doesn't really work as easy on PlayStation 4.
It's too bad. I mean, I get why they do it, but it's too bad that they don't, like, partner. Like, and then this is not even necessarily any, you know, specific console, but one thing I love on my Android TV box is the whole Google Cast stuff, because they have apps that they build specifically for that, and I love the native apps, but half of the native apps aren't available. You just have to cast over to it, but it works fantastic. So a little too well, actually, because my kids' tablets, it somehow knows that my TV thing's on our network, and if they hit the button, it casts to the TV, and there's no way to block that. So it's like you'll be watching TV, all of a sudden some shitty YouTube children's things on there. I'm like, God fucking damn it. You know, turn that shit off.
Anyway, going to something else about Xbox and Microsoft. Remember the original OG Xbox, the Xbox first.
Xbox VCR.
Xbox Uno. Those games are still going to be backwards compatible at some point. Remember, Crimson Skies, hello. Anyway, it is still coming. Xbox head Phil Spencer reaffirmed in an interview with GameSpot. It is happening, saying, we're close. We're really close. We're so close. Keep going. Anyway, it should
be edging.
We should launch by the end of the year. So by the end of the year, you should be able to play things like Crimson Skies and Fusion Frenzy on your Xbox. They're
hopefully
just gonna,
not Fusion Frenzy too.
They're
going to
just blow a big bunch of games all over you all at once. From
you know
OG
what?
Xbox.
Props to them for actually working on backwards compatibility.
Yeah.
It's like, had I known this now when I was shopping for consoles, I probably would have an Xbox One instead of a PlayStation 4.
Mm.
And it's just disappointing to see how little movement there is on that front with PlayStation. It's just they want me to do their streaming service, and no, I don't want to do your streaming service.
Sony's getting a little cocky, and it might, you know, it's going to be interesting. Are we going to go in the next gen? Are we going to flip back again?
It's going to be, well,
the reason why I'm saying Sony's getting cocky, just so people understand, this whole cross-platform gaming thing. Again, I don't think it made our show tonight, but there was another game out there I was reading a story about that they came out and said, well, we'll be cross-platform on Switch, Xbox One, and PC, because Sony won't let us do it. And I just, Sony can only sit on top of that throne so long, you know?
It's people remember that kind of crap.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, let's hope they make a corrective course soon. Anyway, let's move on. We've been talking a lot on the first two stories, so let's go over to Dark Sakura with what she has to report.
Oh, well, I don't know if it's going to be bad or good. It could be good. It could be, like I said, bad. But Humble Bundle has been acquired by IGN. As in, you know, the gaming news / strategy stuff, you know, website. But anyway, they said, though, that they chose IGN because they, quote, understand their vision. That they think that they'll be able to help Humble Bundle continue with their quest for charity and good works through gaming. So I hope it stays good. I hope they don't get screwed over in this. So, yay.
To register participation for this week's episode of Orange Lounge Radio at VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase DOOR.
As long as the charity support stays, I think there will still be a lot of fans of Humble Bundle. And I think, you know, again, one thing that's going to have to stay, and I don't know how IGN feels about this, but the ability to choose, you know, if you're going to give money to charity or give money to developers or give money as a tip to the Humble Bundle itself to keep it going. I know the default is usually like a third, but, you know, if you want, you can slide the bar and you just give all the money to charity. And, you know, some people play with that. Maybe they'll give, you know, 40% to charity, 40% to the developers, and 20% to Humble Bundle. You know, sometimes people like to play with those numbers. So yeah. I think as long as that stays there, people won't get upset. But, like, if the tip becomes required or something like that, then that's where people are going to start to abandon that ship real quick. My only thing with Humble Bundle is that there's so many of them now, so frequently, that it's hard to keep tabs when good ones are out.
I wish it integrated more with Steam so I could see which games I already own. Because there's, like, several Humble Bundles where, like, I just don't buy them because I have, like, half the games on them. I mean, it's nice to support charities and stuff, but I don't need to buy stuff I already have.
ActDeft in chat says, I'm not really okay with IGN buying Humble, but at the same time, I do think IGN can help them become bigger. SS200 Matt says, as long as IGN lets Humble continue to do their thing, I am okay, but I'm extremely cautious about this. Stoppy says, I'm sure it's going to change. Does anyone remember the stories from a year or so ago when they were saying they couldn't afford to pay Humble staff? Bobby Blackwolf says, Humble Bundles lost their uniqueness. They were better when they were just an event. Now it's just yet another digital storefront, and that's boring. You know what? I hate to fucking bring this up, but I'm going to fucking bring it up. It's exactly what's going to happen to Szechuan sauce in the winter. It's exactly what's going to happen. Everybody's losing their fucking minds.
They're going to try it. They're going to be like, wow, that's not really good.
And the stuff was nasty anyway.
And then when it comes out, and it's because now McDonald's fucking, because of everything that's happened, they've come backed into a corner.
Free so fucking publicity.
They've got the factory going overtime right now so that come November, December, they're going to have that shit everywhere. And then people are going to try it. And they're going to be like, no wonder they got rid of this shit the first time.
It's like Crystal Pepsi.
Kinda.
Yeah, that's it's really like everyone's like, oh,
why can't they bring back Josta if they're gonna bring back something?
Dude, Surge, bring back Surge. I know they sell it on Amazon, but you know, why can't it be in stores?
I bet you Surge sucks too.
You know what?
Surge was delicious.
Their Surge was fucking awesome, but they changed the recipe, so it's not quite the same anymore. But I still want.
I have found.
I got to order something from Amazon pretty soon, so I'm gonna get Surge with that.
I have found something that tastes like Josta, by the way, and they sell it at the Russian grocery store out in Citrus Heights. It's like some guarana drink, but it tastes just like Josta. Okay. Just saying.
Noted. That's just like I saw ketchup.
Josta was my stuff, okay?
I saw ketchup chips for sale the other day.
Ketchup is disgusting.
I had a very Canadian moment.
No. No.
Why not?
Although I did order mushroom ketchup.
Really? You put...
It's an 18th century thing.
You put ketchup on your French fries.
Mayonnaise.
French fries are a potato. Fuck that. You put French fries. You put ketchup on French fries.
Or nacho cheese.
Why can't you put ketchup on potato chips? They're both potatoes.
Because ketchup is disgusting.
Ketchup is fine.
I almost feel about ketchup the way you do about mayonnaise.
Potato chips.
Then in that case, fine. Don't eat them.
But see, you don't really put ketchup on potato chips. I'm fine if you want to dip that shit, you know, that's fine. Mm-hmm. Or maybe in the ranch or something, that'd be fine. But like, I don't know if you should put it on the chips or make your chips flavorless.
What is with people's fucking obsession with ranch?
I don't know. I think ranch is nasty in most scenarios.
I knew a guy.
It's all about balsamic vinegar.
I knew a guy in college that bought ranch by the gallon, and he would have the gallon fucking mug in the refrigerator and would put it on everything. When pizza came from round table,
when you're
dip it in the ranch.
Like mug of ranch, just like sucked, sitting there browsing the internet. Like down in it like a soda.
Oh, Alan is here to lend us some witful insight now that he heard this.
The worst application of ranch dressing I've ever seen in my life was back in 95, 96, senior year of high school, when the cafeteria had the big Costco pumps of ketchup, mustard, and ranch. And people would drizzle ranch on like their like this shitty cardboard flat pizza that was like it was like it basically wasn't even cheese. It was like a it was like the frosting top of a Zinger Twinkie where you just peeled it off. So they would put ranch on that. But the worst were the girls who got a Nissan cup of ramen, put in the hot water, and then put in four pumps of ranch.
No.
So watered down ranch in their cup of noodles. That happened.
That's a travesty.
That happened 20 years ago, 22 years ago.
And a tragedy.
It's the worst. I've never looked at ranch the same way again.
I do like Hidden Valley Ranch. Wow. You know, if we're going to get brand specific because...
No more ranch discussion.
Okay, sorry, Ken's brand is the best.
If it ain't Cool Ranch and it's on a Dorito, I want nothing
Doritos
to do with
are
it.
Fucking gross.
All right.
And you can use them as fire kindling. True story.
All right. No, Alan was just borrowing my mic for a minute, Dr. Tetsuya. We only have three in studio right now.
But seriously, yeah, Szechuan sauce is going to be a fucking joke, and I don't know why people were flipping. Right. Did you hear someone traded one of those packets for a car?
I apologize to the listeners for bringing up Szechuan sauce on OLR. I was trying to make a point, and look what fucking happened. I will learn my lesson for next time and do better.
Oh, we go on tangents? Like, that's... this is... the first time that's ever happened.
An hour 10 into the show. Loki, next story.
So, you know, as I mentioned, I may be getting back into Pokemon soon. That's because the new update has been data mined, and we've found pictures for the Halloween event. That's right. There's going to be some Halloween event, which is not unexpected. But along with that, there's also trophy listings and badges for the third gen of Pokemon. So third gen of Pokemon probably going to be here within 2 weeks or so.
It could be a limited start. Remember when Gen 2 released, it was just the babies for the first
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be like that. But
I'm just saying, don't be shocked if it's the ghost Pokemon only.
I do need some more ghost Pokemon, though. I'm pretty deficient in the ghost Pokemon area.
I don't think there's any like big, heavy-hitting ghost Pokemon right now. Like maybe Gengar, but you have to really power it up, you know?
Yeah.
So.
But yeah, they're saying, though, there's a new loading screen, and it has, I guess, teasing third-generation Pokemon as well. Yeah. So they've got...
That's the most damning evidence.
Yeah, Dusclops, Shuppet, Banette, Duskull, and Sableye. So, and then of course Gengar is on there.
But those might be the only Pokemon. I'm just warning because I seem to remember when Gen 2 launched, we got a loading screen with Pichu and Igglybuff and the babies that they let out originally.
Yes.
So I'm just saying, be prepared, y'all, that those may be the only Gen 3 Pokemon we get at first. And then by December or whatever, or no, probably earlier than that, by November, Thanksgiving or something, we'll have all the rest of Gen 3. But I'm glad we didn't have to wait an entire year. It was only about 8 months.
Well,
like, can we fast forward to Alola already?
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like I think that the lull is going – it's not dragging out as long anymore. It's like people are kind of getting over it really fast, and so they're going to have to get those updates a lot faster.
Yeah. Well, I would say Niantic is still – it's raining money over there because I'm sure with the raids, you know, there's still enough people doing them that they're making money. You know,
right.
Let's not kid ourselves, but – isn't it nice to make a lot of money? And we still have Mewtwo raids to really... I mean, I know they've done a couple, but they didn't really launch them big. So, I mean, I still don't have Mewtwo, which actually I'm kind of pressed about that because a lot of people I know do have them. So I'd kind of like that to come back so I can try to catch another. So we'll see, though. Maybe that's something that's going to launch around Gen 3. I don't know. So, SSGO100 Matt thinks in our chat, I think there will be more costumed Pokemon. They did come out with this update about not being able to transfer costumed Pokemon without an extra screen. I thought that was always because we had that bug a month or two ago where the Pikachus
weren't showing their hats right.
Yeah.
And so people like may accidentally throw them away, but now you can't do that. So that's I'm so happy they put that in, actually.
And then one other thing that they're doing also a little bit before this whole update that's allegedly supposed to happen is this Pokemon Go photography contest. So using the app, you can actually take pictures, of course, of Pokemon and with the AR camera. So they're basically having you kind of try to get the best spot or shot that you can and then share it on Instagram and tag it Pokemon Go contest. So you have until the 25th of October to do that. And I guess they haven't really announced what the prize... Oh, here we go. So if you do win, and this is U.S. residents only, unfortunately, the winner gets a bag containing a poster autographed by the team, a pair of wireless Bluetooth earbuds, and Go Plus. So that's kind of all right.
Can I submit old photos? Because I have a picture of a Paris on the grill at Benihana that I still think is funny.
Probably. I mean, that would be fun. Fine.
I might try that.
Definitely don't do anything that you would see in the Pokemon Go or Pokemon Go Gone Wild community.
Oh, God. Nothing is that like, a thing?
That is unfortunately a thing.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Is it a Tumblr?
It's a Reddit subreddit. I'm sure it's a Tumblr thing as well. But yes, if you want to see Pikachu sitting on a dude's dick, there you go.
It's like what this is like. I can't believe that
it's a camera. Of course, people are going to take pictures of their dicks with it.
Okay, wait. Of course. You said it's a Reddit?
It's a Reddit, yes. I think it's like Pokemon Go GW or Gone Wild, Pokemon Gone Wild, maybe. I don't know. Just do a search for like Pokemon Go Gone Wild or something.
What's the most horrible thing you've seen on there?
I don't know. It's just.
It's Poke Gone Wild. Oh, it's. I went to the sub and it says nothing there. So maybe they flushed it. I don't know. Do I need to log in?
No, I doubt it. There, I have to search this now.
Chatter, I know what. I know somebody out there knows it.
Y'all need better hobbies.
It's Pokemon Go Gone Wild, I think. Pokemon Go NS. FW, that's what it was.
Okay, thank you. SSG 100 Matt News It. The award for biggest perv goes to... Why? Why is this a thing?
Because it's got a camera, and so people are going
to
do that.
I'm looking at a picture of an Eevee next to a naked lady. Why? Why not? And then here's a picture of a horsey... sitting on a guy's wang. That's I'm glad I logged into the internet today.
If it exists, it can be porned.
If it's got a camera, you're gonna get porn out of it.
SSJ 100 Matt says, wow, throwing me under the bus just because I Google it faster than you. I expect Tiger Claw to have the best Google foo skills. Sorry, SSJ 100 Matt. I guess there's some things even Tiger Claw won't Google. And I don't blame you for that. I don't blame you for that.
There's a lot of.
Am I the only
on
person with morals in this room?
Yes. No, you don't have them either. Come on,
girl. I have morals. I'm just not interested in that kind of garbage.
Come on, Noel Gus in chat says Rob's going to be up all night. Yeah, crying. All right. Anyhow.
Hey, you must be this tall to enter.
Yeah, sure. Sure you have morals. All right.
I do. I just doesn't, morals have nothing to do with a dirty mind.
All right, moving on. Let's talk about Fortnite. Because I have, if you're going to be up to Fort all night, over on Engadget, they had a story that caught my eye talking about a Fortnite lawsuit. Because I know a lot of people are playing the Fortnite Battle Royale online. Well, apparently Epic Games has filed a civil lawsuit against two people they say are cheating while playing online. And they're doing it through a website called Addicted Cheats, which apparently this website, it's subscription-based. And you can, on this website, use their services to hunt down and kill Twitch streamers while they played live. What a bunch of dicks. What a dickbag thing to do.
Yeah, people like doing that. But that's usually they
I know.
Do,
it's
usually
it's a troll
they have
thing.
A delay on it. And a lot of Twitch streamers can put like a 30-second delay, so it doesn't matter.
Interesting.
But
so anyway, what Epic Games... Excuse me, I have a sneeze. Pardon me.
Blessings.
I'm allergic to
bullshit.
R-rated stuff. Epic Games says in the suit that individuals had to dive in and modify Fortnite's source code and able to do this, and this violates the EULA and the DMCA, that of course being the license agreement and the Digital Millennium Copyright Act. So anyway, Epic is not suing the site to get it off the internet. It's suing the two individuals for copyright infringement. That can carry a penalty up to $150,000. These two defendants are technical support for AddictedCheats.com, so it looks like Epic Games may be trying to make an example out of them. In the complaint, one defendant was banned from Fortnite 9 times, continued to make new accounts to continue playing, accused of using specifically the Addicted Cheats site to hunt down popular players while live streaming, which I guess is a whole part of the dark web.
It's no, not a dark web thing. They just do that.
The dark web. Yeah. Called stream sniping. And that is forbidden in the code of conduct for Player Unknown's Battlegrounds, which is why the guy got banned 9 times. So anyway, that would be interesting. Also, Addicted Cheats has taken that cheat offline, saying it's closed for a legal issue. There you go. Come on, Noel Gus in chat says, Addicted Cheats, is that like an Ashley Madison site?
Druggies.
It's something. Let's see. Stoppy in chat says, how do you even find individual streamers? Apparently, this site would let you do it. This site somehow goes to the code and will put in their game.
How people would normally do is they'd have the stream on at the same time, and they'd try to get in the same game as the streamer, and then kind of figure out based on where they see them.
Right.
You know, but then you have – that's really easy to do if you have like a short delay.
It's the whole – look, it's the whole rule of GoldenEye. You don't fucking look at my screen to figure out where I am. You keep your eyes on your own damn screen.
Or just like, why waste your time doing that? I mean, I guess if you're just trolling, I guess you might be easily amused by that kind of stuff, but that just seems dumb.
Yeah. And Kaijudo kind of brings up in chat saying, can't someone just do that looking at someone's stream? Yes, but you can't really force your way into their game. And I'm assuming this website kind of facilitates you being able to make sure you get matched with them.
No, I don't know. I don't know what that would do.
I don't know what it does because I would not use such a site.
Maybe this would like show, like, say, the usernames from like a longer distance away so they can see, oh, this is where this person is. And it's like a wall hack almost where you can see the person through the walls.
Oh.
And so you can see where they are and just go make a V line straight
to them.
You know
a lot about this, Loki.
Well, I've been playing games for a long time.
I have too. All right, moving on. Speaking of she who has been playing games for a long time, Dark Soccer, what do you have for us?
I have some stuff about Blizzard suing the pants off people because it's not, you know, the 2010s without having, you know, one company sue another. And in this case, Blizzard is suing its partner overseas, NetEase. Are suing developers of a game called Heroes of Warfare. The developers, 4399, and they put out what they call the first MOBA on iOS or Android. They have, you know, stylized characters with checkpoints on maps that have similar layouts like in Overwatch. And certain sound effects that sound like they've been pulled directly from Overwatch, as well as a very similar UI. So, Blizzard's like, no, you didn't, and decided to lay the smack down financially on this Chinese company, which, I mean, we get a lot of clones, I think, you know, trying to make money off of successful IPs, but in this case, I was looking at some of the video of it. It looks pretty similar. I mean, the biggest difference is platform, but I don't know. It's cute.
I mean,
it's probably still make me sick.
You still can't put Super Mario Brothers on the iPhone unless you're Nintendo, just because it's a change in platform, right?
So, yeah,
that whole type of thing.
Yeah.
So
they're getting their butt sued. That's what you get. Come up with an original idea.
It'll be interesting to see how it turns out, because this practice is very common, not just in China. If you go on to, you know, Apple Store or Google Play, you're going to find tons of clones of games.
Russian hackers going to hack.
Look when Flappy Bird came out. Some dude made a game called Flappy Vog. It was such a ripoff.
I'm teasing, obviously. I think a ton of people did. And for one, Flappy Vog speeds up as you play, which the original doesn't do. So it does have a key difference. But anyway, all that stuff aside, I mean, there's all these types of, you know, ripoffs. But there's a big difference probably between something like Flappy Bird and, you know, because, again, all, you know, kidding aside, these other knockoffs usually don't have a bird. It's Flappy something else, you know, a Flappy podcast host or whatever. But you usually don't, like, copy art assets down to, you know, what's really indistinguishable from other games.
I don't know. Those pipes sure did look like Super Mario Bros. Pipes.
That's true. That's true. Oh, how funny. I never knew this. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, fun fact, I have never actually played Flappy Bird when I made Flappy Vog. I just saw a video or two. Well, I take comfort in knowing I have probably one of the last phones left that can still play Flappy Bird because I still am not on iOS 11.
You know what?
What?
Never played Flappy Bird.
Flappy Bird?
Flappy Bird. Yeah, never played Flappy Bird.
Oh, there's probably a Reddit for that, too.
I'm sure there's already a game out there for
it. Do another story, Loki.
So we talked a little bit about loot boxes earlier, and that's kind of one way developers and publishers, I think publishers are more involved with this, piece out parts of games that would normally be included in the full price of the game. Well, another practice to do that as well is pre-order bonuses. That's right. And so there was a specific online web advertisement from the wonderful folks at the Evil G that were advertising the pre-order bonus for Assassin's Creed Origins. And so it kind of pissed off people a little bit because it basically showed this camel jump up in the way. It's like, sorry, the bonus mission is blocked unless you pre-order Assassin's Creed Origins. Because, you know, it's sort of playing or making fun of the whole pre-order culture. But, you know, being that this company is the one that kind of perpetuates that pre-order culture, some people weren't so sensitive to weren't as happy to see that in an advertisement blatantly just saying kind of like, yeah, we know what's wrong, but fuck you guys, pre-order this shit, you know? So that's a thing. Apparently, though, from what I've seen is they've kind of taken this ad offline, so you can't really find it anymore. But
do you think there were some angry gamers around this?
Probably. People get angry over a lot of things, but it is kind of lame.
Angry people on my internet?
Yes. Yes, on your internet.
It's more real than you think.
But yeah, it is kind of shitty to block a mission behind a pre-ordered, you know, DLC thing. That's why you wait for the Game of the Year edition. You know, late gamers.
All right. Well, hopefully you won't have to wait too long to pick up this game because it's a Blizzard game. So, you know, they do good stuff, as we were talking about earlier. Apparently, it's a new Overwatch game that they may be working on. This is a huge rumor, and it's based off the fact that a vacancy on the Blizzard jobs website says that they are looking to expand Overwatch with a generalist artist intern with knowledge and understanding of Overwatch to work on a unannounced project. Well, shoot, that could be anything because that could be like a mobile type of game or something, you know. Certainly would make a lot of sense if Blizzard wanted to use the Overwatch IP on mobile somehow.
Overwatch is the Overwatch.
Let's see. It's also brought up that a while ago, last year, over on NeoGAF, somebody had found a listing for a lead software engineer for a first-person title. And Mike Morhaime has confirmed in the past there are teams working on new projects, especially on mobile. So it really could be anything. I wouldn't mind seeing a new Overwatch game in a couple years. But I really like the stuff like Junkenstein's Revenge and the PvE type of stuff, especially when they did the Uprising. I think it was Overwatch Uprising. I like those types of events. And the Junkenstein event, by the way, you know, I know we're joking about loot boxes, but if you are an Overwatch player, don't forget to sign in and get your Halloween loot box and do the Junkenstein's Uprising because it's not that hard, and you get a loot box from that too. And in fact, if you do it like 9 times, you can get like 3 more loot boxes. You can get a lot. So yeah, get your loot boxes, then you don't have to buy them for your cosmetic crap.
Sure.
So, but yeah, a new Overwatch game. I'd be into it, but I see where Blizzard maybe wouldn't want to cannibalize the Overwatch they have now, so it would have to be something maybe a little different. But I think an Overwatch PvE type of game would be awesome. So we'll see. All right. Well, let's travel back to a simpler time. We're going to travel back to a time when there was no loot boxes. There was this, in fact, if something was wrong with this cartridge, like if the boss was just missing on level 30, too fucking bad.
You dealt with it.
You didn't have loot boxes.
You had a recall.
You had hacked passwords.
Yeah, seriously.
So we're going to terror, horror, danger, exclamation point, and Justin Bailey our way to the classic game of the week. The Darkstalker is going to step into the gaming vault and find a game that she thinks, hey, you little brats, give me all the money you were going to give the loot box people and go play this classic game instead because it has no loot boxes. And you can still play this game for like 60 hours, right, Darkstalker?
Oh, yeah. This game is at least 60 hours of joy.
This is a great pick, too. It's one of, again... Here again, how long have we been doing this segment? Like, almost, we're almost up to 500 classic games.
And this is a game that I started and never spent much more time on, and I really, really wish that I had. And
this is one of those games where I'm like, how have we not done this before?
Right?
How? So anyway.
So the classic game is Terranigma, which in Japan was called Tenshi Sozo, which means the creation of heaven and earth. It was released in 1995 by Enix, with character designs done by a mangaka named Fujiwara Kamui. Sorry, it was released in English in the UK. It was also released in German, French, and Spanish, but never released in North America, which is a fucking travesty, because this game, I mean, even the little bit I played of it was really good. You know, it was just, you know, a little bit more of my own gamer ADD. And no SSJ 100, Matt. Julian is never picking Halo because I'm only the... my word's the final word.
The buck stops with me.
Yeah. And then I kick it in the ass. So basically the game has a top-down perspective over the world. It is an action-based real-time battle system to where you do different techniques depending on if you're running, jumping, attacking... or using a combination of the actions. Each attack will have different ways it can hurt different enemies. And so you get experience, you know, it increases your stats. You get, you know, whatever dead enemies leave behind. Like, oh, look, this squirrel left me a compound bow. That's interesting. Where did the squirrel keep the compound bow up its ass? Compressed, highly compressed. You also have, you know, spells and then different things that boost spells. And the series that you can collect these things called Magi Rocks that you take them to a magic shop and have them transformed into rings and summons. So kind of like early Materia system, too, if you think about it. But the thing that I always thought was cool about this game was the world it was built in is that you have a fictional Earth that is a hollow sphere. So you have the people that live on the surface and the people that live on the internal face of it. So light side, dark side, and then two different forces that rule them. On the top, it's the ability to evolve and exceed, and on the dark side, it's decline. So that creates two forces called God and Devil, which I guess people in America have their, you know, head so far up their asses over anything with vague religious symbolism, so whatever the fuck. And then, like, the last battle takes place in Antarctica. So, but it's a really, really neat game. It has really great music, and of course, it was done by Enix. Just a really gorgeous game put out for the Super Famicom, Super Nintendo. And the company that created it was Quintet. The development company was Quintet, who also designed ActRaiser and Soul Blazer, Illusion of Gaia. And Enix basically commissioned them as subcontractor and wanted an action roleplay game. So that's how it happened. So basically, the founder of Quintet wrote the script for the game, and the scenarios had to be approved, and it was just really a lot that went into it. They had a little bit of, I'd say, early CG in it, you know, for designing the graphics for the resurrection scenes, and just pretty, pretty crazy. But it was never published in North America because Enix closed its U.S. subsidiary before the localization was finished. So the English versions were used that were made for America were released in Europe and Australia when Nintendo had it ready to go. So it also had like a lot of merchandise that came out with it, including a guidebook, a world atlas, and a novel, and also another novelization of the game, full other art books, and two manga based on it. A two-volume manga that was based on it. And these have never been released outside of Japan, although Club Nintendo did a 32-page comic that came out in Germany. The soundtrack, of course, has been released in 1995, and it had the first six tracks were arranged versions of the game music. It sold pretty well. Famicom Tsushin gave it a 30 out of 40. So, I mean, even so, that's not high enough.
No, it isn't. This game's great.
But basically, this is considered to be like one of the best games that never came out in the U.S.
It's so really unfortunate that this whole series was not represented. I mean, I don't think these games have a direct relation to each other between Terranigma and Brain Lord and Illusion of Gaia and all that.
But they're still considered a creation trilogy.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good way of putting it, a creation trilogy. Like a Kevin Smith trilogy with Clerks and Mallrats and all
like,
that.
Like the Ice Cream and Blood ones. What is it? Ice Cream and Blood?
Ice Cream and Blood?
That they call it for like Hot Fuzz.
Oh.
And Shaun of the Dead.
Oh, okay. So movies with that guy.
Well, no, because they have the same brand of ice cream in every,
yes,
in all three of those movies.
Yeah, okay. I gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, they have Big Kahuna Burger in all of Tarantino's movies. But
well, and Tarantino has already said his movies exist in the same universe.
Yeah. But anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. But it's really tragic that these games don't exist on, like, or they're not represented on the SNES Classic at all. You know, no. Like, at least you think
I would have killed to have. Even I'd rather Gaia, this than Star Fox 2.
Me too. Well, we'll just have to wait for SNES
Classic. Or now that it's been hacked.
We'll just have to wait for SNES Classic 2 Electric Boogaloo, because, you know, it's only a matter of time.
Well, now that it's already been hacked, you know. they're loading. People are loading their own games.
Oh, sure.
On them now. It's official.
Of course.
But
I'm waiting for that to be rock solid before I touch mine.
Well, I'm not going to mod mine because I have an EverDrive. Although I want the one that will let you do the Super FX games. I think that'd be great. But yeah, this game, totally worth it if you haven't played it. In fact, I'm kind of thinking I might restart it just because it's been on my mind lately. I've been trying to find a PAL copy of it for a while. Haven't had any luck, so we'll see.
All right. There it is, your classic game of the week, Terranigma on the Super Nintendo. Sadly, never in the U.S., but I'm sure lots of you have played it anyway.
Bastards.
Wink. Before we go to our break, Bobby Blackwolf with a technical question for the goddess of the Classic Game of the Week. Bobby Blackwolf wants to know, is StarCraft II eligible for Classic Game of the Week because of its copyright date, or does the 10-year timer start when the Super Nintendo Classic was released? My guess would be she did a game that never came out before as Classic Game of the Week once because, you know, of the lore and everything behind that. So I would think under those rules it would be eligible, but you're not going to pick a bad game. I'm kidding. Maybe.
You can do Star. We can revisit the thought of StarCraft 2.
Halo.
You mean Star Fox 2.
Star Fox 2. we can revisit it because I think I would go by its original inception, mm-hmm, like when it was actually finished. Why does it say StarCraft, by the way? Star Fox 2, it could end up there.
But
people could have been playing it for longer than 10 years.
But you're probably not going to pick it.
We'll see.
Never say never. SSGO 100 Matt says Star Fox 2 would happen sooner than Halo 2. Probably. That is correct.
Well, none of the Halo games are going to be in there, so you may as well just forget it. Unless it's like a Halo parody or a knockoff, like the Atari Halo.
Yeah, Atari Halo. Maybe
I'd do Atari Halo.
There you go.
But so I wouldn't do like actual Halo.
You did, and people forget you did Marathon at one point. So close enough.
Did I?
Yeah, you did. I'm almost positive you did on the Mac like years ago.
You know, the Bungie's first game on the Mac.
Oh, yo, that. Sorry. Yeah. I was like, for just a moment, I was like, when did I marathon Halo?
No. No, the game marathon.
Yeah, I did marathon because it was notable for spawning the garbage that is Halo.
All right.
Sorry, it's not garbage. Garbage actually serves a purpose.
Bobby Blackwolf says, you have 2 more years. Halo 2600 was released in 2009. We'll hold out hope that the show, you know, will be around that long. No, it should. There's no reason why it shouldn't, but you never know. All right, we are going to take a break, though. I know we've been around a long time tonight, and we're going to take a break. But when we come back, there's plenty more Orange Lounge Radio to come, including rapid fire news, a trip around the world with what's in stores this week, our mailbag segment, and your calls at Orange Lounge Radio on Skype. When we come back after this break with more of Orange Lounge Radio. Welcome back, everybody, to Orange Lounge Radio live tonight. Episode number 704 of our show in progress for this October the 15th of 2017. If you're just joining us, you missed some chat earlier in the show about loot boxes and talking about that big acquisition of Humble Bundle by IGN and Gen 3 Pokemon coming to Pokemon Go soon. So you'll just have to check it out at our podcast feed, which is available pretty much anywhere podcasts are distributed, with one notable exception, but I won't get into that now. But certainly iTunes and Google Play Podcasts and all that good stuff. If it's not where you listen to podcasts, simply check another resource. There you go. And don't forget, we always appreciate nice reviews on all those podcast websites as well. But you can always join us live here on Sunday night as well, especially on a nice night like tonight, where I feel like we're not competing against anything on TV for a change. So all the big TV shit is Sunday nights, but I think we have a reprieve this week, right? Game of Thrones is done. Is Walking Dead back?
I have no idea.
Is that a thing? I have no idea either. So I don't think we have anything we're competing against right now, at least not until, what, 2 weeks from now, when I'm sure everybody's going to be binging Stranger Things.
But that comes out on a Friday, so that's still...
So people should be done. It's only like 8 episodes, right? Or did they change it? Okay, 8 episodes isn't a lot, so you can binge that.
Well, no, actually, no, it's more than 8 episodes. It was quite a few last time. It was like 12 or 13.
No, Stranger Things was only like 6 episodes the first time.
It's more this time, I think.
Yeah. So I don't know, maybe somebody in our chat knows over at live.vognetwork.com, where Rama says Walking Dead is next week. Oh, there you go. Let's see. Come on, Nolga says Major League Baseball is happening right now. Well, we always have to do compete against sports. That's always, if it's not baseball, it's football or it's basketball. There's always something on hockey. It's, you know, something's always going to be on Sunday night. Okay. Kaijudo says it was 8. The first season was 8. Okay, maybe it is 10 this time then. You're right. It is more this time. Okay, let's move on, though. Less TV, more games. Rapid-fire news, starting with Loki.
So this is kind of a weird place to play games, but apparently there is a Russian-made van and truck company called, I guess, Gazelle, and their Gazelle Next vans and trucks have a Easter egg hidden in them. In fact, apparently in this van's dash, you can play Tetris. But how you unlock it, it's quite complicated. So they have actually some basic instructions. So first you would turn the ignition on, start the car, activate the right turn signal for 3 blinks. Then you would do 2 clicks of the trip odometer, reset twice, and then push the clutch 5 times and then rev the engine to 2000 RPM while turning on the left turn indicator.
Sounds a lot like that Rainbow Road Tesla thing that Bobby did a video for at the Vogue Network YouTube, plug. But, I mean, seriously, there was that YouTube that he did which showed that, except that wasn't really a game. He actually showed that to me when I was in Atlanta and he was taking me to the airport.
But, yeah, you can actually play it. You can turn the dial or whatever to move the pieces back and forth, and I think you click on the other dial to drop them. So it's neat that you can do that. Why you'd want to do that? I don't know. You must be incredibly bored.
You must really want to play Tetris.
Tetris on...
Just like there's people that really want to play NES Golf on the Switch with all these hacks and things happening.
Yeah, so apparently, I mean, it's a thing, but it's just... Okay. That's kind of a head-scratcher. Kind of like Sony making a movie based on the Settlers of Catan. I can't imagine how that would be. There really is no story in the Settlers of Catan except for trading and screwing people over by, you know, building The Longest Road. And
you know what? They made a movie off of Clue. It was one of the best things ever. So why not? Of course, they made a movie out of Battleship, and it was
terrible.
It was
and they also
garbage.
Made a movie out of, you know,
I feel like I've asked this before.
Ouija, and that was pretty terrible.
Was Liam Neeson in that movie, right? In Battleship?
He was. For
did he get a chance to say, "You sunk my Battleship"?
I don't think so. Because,
like, if nobody in that movie screams, "You sunk my Battleship," then that movie ain't worth shit.
Now, to be fair, apparently this is being... driven. They've got basically a few people on board. So Dan Lin, Gail Katz, and Jonathan Erich will produce the film. And I guess Blaise Hemingway will write the screenplay. Now, some of those names may not sound familiar. Katz, I guess they said that he's done 20 films over the last 20 years, including The Line of Fire and Air Force One. I guess Lin has had several movies as well, including The New It. He produces Sherlock Holmes, The Lego Movie, The Invention of Lying, also Terminator Salvation, Gangster Squad, and Death Note. So, I don't know. I mean, it's going to be hit or miss with some of these Sony movies, but I honestly don't know where they would go with this because there's no plot to the game. There's no backstory. It's just kind of this game. So I don't know what the hell they would do with this other than, okay, it's a medieval movie about settling. It's people settling in the realm of Catan.
At least the Oregon Trail had a story behind it, right?
Yeah, like that would be right.
But you could just do a movie based on the actual Oregon Trail. We have to remember that game was based on actual events. It's a little different. Settlers of Catan isn't based on anything. So, all right. Anyhow, hey, maybe a movie a series that could get a movie someday. Civilization, right? That's a big
could
series.
It? Why? I don't know if I would be comfortable with seeing Gandhi as this evil overlord, but I mean, I'm down with it.
That's true. Anyway, Civilization VI, which was a game I was playing not that long ago, actually, they're getting some tweaks coming up. The latest update for the game has been announced by Firaxis, and it's going to be kind of really tinkering the religion aspect of the game. It's going to be getting the biggest overhaul. Religion is a victory condition in the game right now, but apparently it's one of the ones that's a little bit broken. It doesn't work quite as well. So some new beliefs and religious units will be coming out with the game. There's also going to be two new pantheons in that, new founder, follower, enhancer, and worship beliefs, some new buildings, and a new combat unit called the Warrior Monk, which sounds like it might tie into religion. So it sounds like they're really kind of inflating that part of the game. This is not DLC. It's actually a patch that's going to be happening, which is pretty cool. I would have thought maybe this would be the year. Well, I guess they just Civ 6 was last year's game, so maybe next year we're going to see something kind of, what did they call it? Beyond Earth. I was going to say Alpha Centauri, but I think they did Beyond Earth on Civ 5's engine, so it'll be interesting to see if we get the Civ 6 in space or maybe,
in space.
Maybe something else. Civ 4 got the colonization reimagining, so maybe they'll do something else with Civ 6's engine, but that would probably be around next year. But this year, you get some balancing issues, and that'll be good. Also, in news this week, I was going to bring up this story from our pals at BamaniStyle.com, but their website appears to be down right now. I guess too many people are reading this story. Uh-oh, so hopefully somebody is also seeing this, but I know the article was about Harmonix collecting the best rock band stories out there for a 10-year celebration of Rock Band. In related news, Rock Band is 10 years old.
Classic game of the week.
Yeah, I know, right? That makes me feel really old, but that is that's where we're at. Rock Band is that old. And so they're collecting some good stories and memories there, probably to do some sort of retrospective that they're working on there. So I'm sure we have a few. I know I always thought that Umlaut event that, you know, SAG was on the show promoting a couple times was pretty cool. And I got to do the hosting thing for 1 year. That was a lot of fun. So hopefully that would be something that will make it into the memories book. So, all right. Dark Sakura, what do you have for rapid fire news?
Oh, just some stuff. In fact, the thing that I actually would rather like to have only for one game. This thing called the Super Retrocade is going to be launching this year, and it has a lot of Capcom and Data East stuff on it. The game I am most interested in is being able to play Three Wonders at home on my TV. That would be great. But it comes, it has wired controllers. You can do save states, SD card support, HDMI AV out, and 90 titles. So that'll be cool if the emulation is good.
Yeah, 90 is good. Well, apparently their last console emulation wasn't so good, so they got to work on that.
And then something else too, and I've actually seen some of this being played, Jersey Jack is releasing a new Pirates of the Caribbean pinball that blows the other one out of the water. Ha ha, pirate joke.
I get it.
But it has like this like whirlpool, and you can shoot cannons back and forth between two ships in this little triple spinner in the middle that really makes for some unpredictable ball control. It's really nice. It is really good. And if you don't know, Jersey Jack did the tables that they did was The Hobbit and Wizard of Oz. And the third one, I can't remember what it was, but they did it. So this is their fourth table. There you go.
Very cool. All right. Yeah, they're like a newer pinball company, right? Mm-hmm. But they have some stuff at the CoinOp here locally. I feel like one or two of those tables has shown up there. So I could be wrong. I don't know. All right. Let's travel around the world and check out some games that are coming out in a store near you this week. What's on shelves this week, Loki?
Lots of things. So we've got... starting off, Atrian Odyssey 5, Beyond the Myth. That's going to be out on 3DS. Gran Turismo Sport on PlayStation VR.
Ooh.
Rogue Trooper Redux on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. South Park, The Fractured Butthole on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One.
I think there will be a lot of people jumping into that one.
WWE 2K18 on PC, the Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. City Shrouded in Shadow on PlayStation 4. Spelunker Party on PC and the Switch.
Did you say shitty Shrouded in Shadow?
No, City Shrouded in Shadow.
Like Shitty Walk is what it sounds like you said there.
Shitty Walk. Shitty, yeah. Shrouded in Shadow.
Shitty. Say that three times fast. She sells seashells by the seashore at the shitty sea. Forget it.
Life is Strange Before the Storm, Episode 2 on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Fire Emblem Warriors on the Nintendo Switch and 3DS. Siberia on the Switch. And I believe that is it. They also had Megaton Rainfall, which was a game I was looking forward to. However, I don't see that on the PlayStation Store, so I don't think that's coming out.
All right, let's travel to Japan. It's not quite a busy week in Japan as it is here, but there are still some releases worth looking forward to. On the October the 19th, Kyoei Toshi comes out in Japan. Gran Turismo Sport gets its regular and limited edition release in Japan this week on the 19th. Street Dragon Quest and Final Fantasy 30th Anniversary Itadaki comes out this week. I'm not sure what that is. Is that
the board game?
Oh, it's the board game thing. Okay, that looks cute. I wonder, are they bringing that over here? Probably not.
Probably. They brought it to Docky Street on the Wii
long time ago.
Yeah,
it was Fortune Street.
Yes.
Right? Okay. So it's that, but in Japan with Dragon Quest Final Fantasy characters. Psycho Break 2 in Japan this week, and Lego Ninjago Movie the Game.
Ninjago.
I would say Ninjago. Because I can't help but think of the ninja rap.
I saw that movie last night.
Ninjago.
It was all right.
Oh, the Ninjago movie?
Yeah.
It was all right? Wasn't as good as the others?
It's not as funny as the other ones, but it had its funny moments.
And if you want to show your undying love for Gran Turismo Sport, you can actually pick up the PlayStation 4 Gran Turismo Sport. It actually looks pretty sick. I like it. It's a gray, and I really like the way the controller looks in that. So you can get that in Japan if you really want this week. I don't know if you're going to pay that much money for it. On the Vita this week, that same Fortune Street with Dragon Quest of Final Fantasy, that will be getting a Vita release this week, but that's about all there is on the Vita this week. But you also have over in Japan this week, you have the Ninjago movie game for Lego. That is also on the Switch in Japan. Let's travel over to the UK, Dark Sakura.
Oh, God, there's a lot of releases. on October 16th, we have Rogue Trooper Redux. On the 17th, the same game again, and WWE 2K18. on PS4 and Xbox One. On the 18th, Gran Turismo Sport. On the 19th, Bomber Crew for PC. And on the 20th, Let's Sing 2018 and Real Farm. Because you can't just actually go have a farm. That's it.
All right. Well, this is the part of the show where we would jump into the mailbag and read the emails that you send us. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com. But I'm not sure we have anything. I don't remember seeing anything.
Yeah, there were a couple in there.
Oh, were there?
Well, yeah, from the 8th.
Oh, I guess. Okay, yeah. I guess the 8th was 7 days ago. We didn't read them on the last show?
No.
We might. All right.
Well, the 8th happened after the last show.
No, that was the last show.
That was Sunday.
Okay, well then shit. I don't think I read them, but whatever.
Wait, let me look. I'm going to look over your shoulder real quick.
Because it says, yeah, I don't remember reading this.
We probably didn't because weren't you not here?
Oh, okay. Then move them into the trash can when you have done read them.
Sorry. I'll stop piling dishes in the sink. And
you know, that's a good habit anyway.
Leaving the seat up.
Those are all good habits to have.
All right. So there were no emails this week. Shame on all of you. You can send us an email if you like. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com. Do what Kitten Poker did last week and send an email that says, hi, I just don't want your mailbox to be empty. Although we appreciate questions or insight, especially perspective. If you have a reaction to a story that we talk about here on the show, an email to go along with that always helps. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com. Not hiccups at orangeloungeradio.com, but participate at orangeloungeradio.com. We do have some more news stories to get into, though, and then we'll open up our Skype line at Orange Lounge Radio on Skype, all one word. Let's get to those stories first, though, starting with Loki.
Yes, this week they have the Oculus Connect event. So they made several announcements regarding the Oculus platform. So along with that, of course, is that the price drop that they did back in the summer for the Oculus Rift is now going to be permanent. So that'll be $399 now for the headset and two sensors and the touch controllers. And I guess a bunch of games. So you can check that out. Also, they announced that they're... standalone headset that's going to be its own platform that doesn't require any sort of phone or anything is going to be coming out pretty soon. That is the Oculus Go. It's going to be coming out for $199. And apparently, you know, it is going to be its own standalone thing. It's going to have a single palm controller, kind of similar to what they have with the Gear VR. So it's going to be a little bit different in that sense. Then they also announced there was yet another platform that they were working on, but that's not, they're sending out dev kits for that right now. So that's something that's in the future, but it's going to be kind of think similar along the lines of the Oculus Go, but more souped up, probably more expensive. Along with that, they were showing off some new games that are going to be coming out for the Rift. One of which is being worked on by Respawn Entertainment. So they've, you know, got a game coming as well. I'm not sure exactly what it's going to be, but they've made some pretty cool games.
Bobby's in our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com saying that Oculus Go is the Gear VR, but without the phone requirements. That's pretty much the level of awesome you can expect out of that.
Yeah, I mean,
it's something.
It's something.
You know, if you're an Apple person, you don't really have access to Gear VR, so this is some way you could do that. So, I mean, Alan has the Gear VR because he got his when he got his Galaxy.
Yeah, I have one, but mine's for the S6, so it's pretty old. And they've
we used it the first day, and
now.
We haven't used it since. Just saying.
I've used it a couple times. I use the Gear the Oculus Dev Kit 2 more than I have the Gear VR. And honestly, I don't like using it with my phone too much because my phone screen's kind of – it's not as high resolution as it could possibly be, and – I don't know. It's just the stuff that you can get on the phone games. It's not all that great. They've got Minecraft, which is kind of cool. But I would be more interested in something now that I have a more powerful PC that can actually do VR. More interested in playing that. In fact, I actually haven't bothered to hook up my DK2 to my PC. But I'm kind of curious to see what that would be like now that it can run the frame rates for some of those games.
Mm-hmm.
But I do want to get an actual Oculus headset at some point or Vive. Vive's more expensive, though, but hopefully with them dropping the price permanently, that'll drive them to drop their price. So.
Yeah, there's a little VR refresh happening going on right now because PlayStation VR just had their Japan just got the...
Right.
the
and then also there's still all this other VR devices that are going to be coming for like Windows holographic and stuff like that. So, you know, where are those? Because those are supposed to be cheaper in price as well. So eventually it'll be just like buying a monitor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, be interesting. All right, well, moving on, maybe a game that you can play in VR, if they're making it for it, I don't know, is Riot Games' next game. Because it is funny that they're called Riot Games when they only really have one game, which, of course, is League of Legends, if you weren't already aware. Now, League of Legends has been a game that's been around since, what, 11 years?
League of Legends? Jeez, has it been that long?
It's been a while. Well, at least Riot Games has been around since 2006. I don't think League of Legends came out right away, but it's been out a little while. But anyway, the two founders of Riot Games did say this week they are handing off the management of League of Legends to other folks so they can make a new game. It will be the second big video game released for Riot Games in their time that they have been operating. So that's pretty awesome. So they are going to be handing over those operations to the chief financial officer, as well as the chief technical officer and the president of the company. We don't know what that game's going to look like. We may see some type of phone game, who knows? Or maybe they would get into making, who knows, an MMO, or they could do anything. So we'll see what Riot Games decides to develop. And to be fair, I guess they actually have done tabletop and small games. So the S in Riot Games is justified, but as far as, like, you know, games on video sorts go, this is really the only one they've got. So they'll have another one, oh, maybe in, like, 7 years when they finally finish it, right? Because video games take a little while to work on. I don't know if you guys know. Video games take a while to finish, right, Logie?
Loot boxes are hard to develop.
Yeah, that's right. They have to find the
perfect
loot box.
I've already had to work in all my monetization stuff. You know, that's what I'm planning first. Because as I've been shown by the AAA industry, that is the most important.
Does League of Legends have loot boxes? I don't think it does.
It's
like the in-game gold that you earn, and then you use that in-game gold to buy the skins and stuff.
I thought
or
they had
buy it.
Skins. Because obviously if it's a free-to-play game, they've got to be making their money somehow.
You earn in-game gold slowly, or you put the money down. It's like Heroes of the Storm used to be, before Heroes of the Storm put in loot boxes. And now Heroes of the Storm runs on
once
boxes.
Again, though, both free games. I don't care. Yeah. I'm fine with that if it's a free game.
Right.
It's just that double-dipping feeling that I don't like.
Right. All right. But we won't rehash the conversation from earlier. So let's move on to what Dark Sakurai has for us.
I got some stuff. You want to see what I have?
Sure.
It has to do with Minecraft.
Never mind. Just kidding. Minecraft's still cool.
Well, you know how people have built these like amazing recreations of like Helm's Deep and all of this business? Well, there is a sculpture event that happens in Minecraft. There's one that's called the Perfect Marionette that won first place in the contest. And, I mean, it is massive. And it's a full-on sculpture. I mean, if you look at it closer, yeah, you can see it's made up of little bricks. But, I mean, just from a distance, it looks like a full-on, like, sculpture. And there are, like, just some crazy ones. Like, one looks like an explosion in mid-explode. And just all these other things. It's absolutely amazing. And the fact that, you know, this game has quite literally turned into an art form.
I was going to say, like, some people paint with watercolor. Some people paint with oils. Some people are using Minecraft. It's crazy, but like, awesome.
But it still requires, I think, some of the same skills that one would have in doing any type of sculpture or other kind of rendering.
Because absolutely.
To do a proper sculpture, you have to have your sense of movement, you have to have your dynamic movement. You also have to have your color balance. You have to have scale. I mean, it's really some amazing work these people have done.
I knew a gal years ago, and I mean years ago, like back when I first did Rocky Horror at the Birdcage. That's how long ago it was, right? I knew this gal, and one hobby that she used to enjoy, she made paintings, but she did them in MS Paint. I kid you not. She did them pixel by pixel. She would zoom in all this so she could do her little art pixel by pixel. And I can't help but think, you know, I've lost touch with her over the years. I have no idea where she is today. But if she's discovered Minecraft, like, that would be perfect for her, because isn't that what Minecraft is? Basically, it's sculpting pixel by pixel, right?
Sort of, yeah.
Yeah.
It really is. And yeah, I've seen some amazing work done in MS Paint, so it's really the equivalent.
Oh, yeah, remember when they tried to get rid of it? People lost their shit. Because they were going to 3D paint or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
people like their MS Paint.
That's right. But there's some website now. What was that site? You could go on there and it's just like MS Paint and you make your drawing, but like it saves it on the web and you can like share your drawings with other people. Dang, there's some art site and it used to be like a game people would do.
I remember though, oh crap.
Somebody in chat is gonna know what I'm talking about.
It was a networked art program. And I can't remember what it was called, but I used to use it all the time where we'd just get like, I was using it with Tiara and our friend Kim and we would, and a few other people, but we would all get into like have a live server and play in this graphics program.
Dark Tetsuya says Oekake.
And no.
I
remember Oekake though.
I think that was, yeah, that's close to what I'm thinking of, but that's not it.
I remember Oekake.
That was like, that's more like a type though.
That's like
copied
a 1998 thing.
Yeah, well.
Really. But God, now I can't remember what it was called, but it was really fun. I mean, and now especially, I'd say that's even one of our earlier precursors to the, you know, now collaborative applications we have. But still, I mean, I love watching people turn the most unexpected thing into real art, you know? So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. All right. Well, you go, artist in Minecraft. Meanwhile, Loki.
All right. So kind of keeping on track with VR, of course, not to be outdone. Valve had some announcements regarding additional components to developing VR systems for device manufacturers. Basically, the new technology is available with the free license that's available for Valve's room-scale VR tracking technology. And they say it includes an optical system, manufacturing calibration tools, and software that aims to make a better user experience. And since the new features now, they're meant to allow, I guess, better, you know, Steam VR compatible head-mounted displays. Also increased sharpness, head tracking, and that sort of thing. So that's cool. Once again, you know, it's like we saw with these other companies developing their own VR devices that are kind of going to be compatible with one platform. I think Valve's taking a smart approach with it too, because, you know, unlike Oculus, it's kind of like, okay, we've got our own storefront that's separate from everything. Valve is like, okay, hey, let's make as many devices as we can that support Steam, because everybody uses Steam. So why not? I'm all for that, especially if that means I'm going to get a cheaper headset later on. That's still pretty good.
The price of this technology is coming down, and I think that's how more and more people are going to end up adopting it.
Sooner or later.
And then more and more applications are becoming available.
And better applications, because right now we're still kind of in that whole Nintendo DS touchscreen thing where no one knows how to utilize the tech. They're just kind of like doing these gimmicky games. It's going to be more smartly used, I guess. So we'll have to check that out.
Well, and finally in the news tonight, something that you've been waiting all show for because Jason referenced it in tonight's introduction. A big thanks to Jason, by the way. He always does those intros to our show. We appreciate it. I'm going to miss him next week because he'll be at TwitchCon, so you're stuck with me unless I can get a guest announcer. Maybe I'll try to get a guest announcer next week. But anyway, this is a new playable character for WWE 2K18. I don't know if you guys play those games at all, but if you do, you can look forward to a brand new playable character in WWE. And you might be wondering, well, which wrestler is this based off of? Is it going to be my twin, Sami Zayn? Well, he might be in the game too. But this particular character I want to talk about is Colonel Sanders. That's right. Colonel Sanders from KFC is character. Now, there is a catch. You have to assemble him and create a wrestler, but you can actually do it because I guess there's sponsored achievements and trophies in this too. Boy, you think loot boxes are bad. Here's a glimpse at the future on our last.
They already
story
do that. They like in Madden, they had advertisements in Madden for like other things. Not talking about like integrated into the arenas, like, you know, you would see, but like actually integrated into the loading screens, like for cell phone service and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So that's been a thing. And sponsored stuff, I mean, it's silly, but this kind of stuff I like because it's just dumb. I mean, who doesn't want to see Colonel Sanders beating down people? The question is, why isn't more You know, we need more of this, like more.
No, I want Colonel Sanders to be beating up the Scary King thing from Burger King that I don't even think has been the mascot for years.
We still need our...
And Wendy. Because all those companies... Have you seen Burger King and Wendy on Twitter recently? They are savage to each other. They are not nice. Like this 2017, you guys, when you can't wait to be dragged by a corporate brand on Twitter.
And then we have Arby's being cool with their marketing.
Yeah, Arby's does.
Arby's,
a great
the only
job
thing
too.
That Arby's has going for it is they have a 50-50 shake that's like an orange cream shake that's fucking awesome. Everything else at Arby's fucking is terrible.
I would disagree with that. I split a sandwich with Dan and there was so much meat in it that it was two sandwiches worth. It was a pretty good deal.
Yeah, but it's like...
Now, if I can get whoever does those ads to make, like, little, you know, sculptures for me. I want... my favorite was the little peach on one they did for Ranma. It was so cute.
Mm-hmm.
Like a meat sculpture? I mean, what are we talking about?
Their ads are... They take, like, their sandwich boxes and make, like, anime figures and video game figures and scenes from... Like, the other day, they did, like, an Inuyasha one. They're so cute.
Oh, see, that must have been what happened was they converted their box into a sandwich and that's what I ate because that's certainly what it tasted like.
All right. Well, that is our last story that we have up for the night. So that means it's time for the Skype line. And you can give us a call over at Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype, if you'd like to give us a call and talk about anything we've discussed so far tonight, or maybe there's something you want to talk about. Again, that's Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype, and it's lighting up right now, so let's get to it. And then a little later, I'll be checking in to see if there's any last-minute stories as well. But I think it's connecting, and we have a call on the line. Hello, it's not connected. Nope. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Trust me, Rob, we're fully connected here.
Well, when you put it that way. What's on your mind tonight, buddy?
Oh, I didn't know the camera's gone. I put some clothes on. I'm sorry.
we're echoing, by the way, so be careful about that. We still have the cam. We're going to be on this rig for a little while, sadly, until we can test some new things. Loki is going to be bringing the laptop into this so we can test a conversion over and... Yeah, I'm just paranoid about some new things, but Loki has a computer we can play with, so that's exciting.
Well, I will email you about that because that's how we do our Skype line for our show.
Fabulous. I'd like to know more about it. Well, what's on your mind tonight?
Well, I just want to say that the Twitter accounts for Arby's, Wendy's, and Burger King gives me life. It gets me through my day.
And Denny's, which, yes. I mean, God, what shit no. food?
No, but it's more Wendy's because of... lewd Wendy and everybody I know cosplaying her. It was, yeah.
Do people actually cosplay the Wendy's character in Ronald McDonald? Of course they do. Why am I even asking this question? There's a Reddit for people posting their boobies next to Pokemon. Of course people cosplay.
Of course, you know, like with Saints Row, freckle bitches.
Is that really a thing?
That's really a thing, freckle bitches.
Because for a while, somebody in one of the Asian countries, I forget where, actually did Genjinka forms of all of the fast food mascots, and there were short-run doujins, and people were cosplaying them. Unless you probably missed it when I was posting them on Facebook, but when I posted Colonel Sanders, a third of the women were like, "Daddy."
Oh, my God. No, I did miss that. There's
because the way he was drawn, all the women were like, "Hi."
I guess, haven't they kind of like redone Colonel Sanders anyway? He's not, they de-aged him a few years, maybe? I don't know. Just a scotch. Okay.
So let's get back to what's good here. I feel you on the YouTube strikes because every time we go to a con and we upload interviews and masquerades, I get strikes from Sony, Warner, all of them because of the music. And I'm like, these are not monetary videos. These are up here for free. Leave me alone.
And yeah, you're only using, if you use a little clip, you're not really supposed to be able to, I mean, that's still like fair use or whatever. So it's just irritating.
The problem is the fact that when people do their skits, they're using commercial music. And it's like, you can't tell them no. Right. And I see nothing wrong with that. I'm not charging. It's like people just want to see what they missed because they couldn't go that weekend.
Right. Yeah, I guess. But what happens ultimately? They put the claim on your video, but they don't really get to do anything, right?
Because they run ads and then they get the revenue.
Oh, okay. So they're running ads and they get the revenue.
Yeah, and also one of two things happen. Either they will be like, okay, you ain't got to worry about it. It's fine. Or you get an email saying your video has been muted in this country. This video is not available in this country. And then you get where this video has been pulled. So I have it bookmarked somewhere, this little text of paraphrase text of fair use that I copy paste in and I send it to YouTube, and usually within about 3 days they like, okay, fine, video is good to go.
It's the whole kid dancing to Prince thing, right? Didn't that go all the way to the Supreme Court and they sided with the person? It was like the little kid in the video dancing to a Prince song, right?
I totally missed that, so I don't know.
I'm trying to remember.
They ruled in the favor of the family, not the music company. Or you can just always do what Jim Sterling does, which is the whole copyright deadlock. So instead of using, if you know that there's going to be like a video flag, like say you have Nintendo content in there, what you do is you throw in random content from other providers that you know are going to get flagged as well. So he'll throw in like Activision stuff and Sony Music stuff. And the problem is everybody creates a copyright claim on the piece of video, and since multiple people can't be the owner of that copyright content, nothing happens to it.
So either I get the money or no one gets the
exactly
money.
None of them get the money.
I even got flagged by Nintendo. Okay.
Yeah, I've had a couple of videos flagged by Nintendo, but to be fair, it was like my Let's Remember, when I first was trying the streamy stuff of Legend of Zelda, which, okay, fine. They had a case to it. I wish there was just a way we could like split revenue instead of, but
well,
whatever.
You can sign up as one of their partners and you get a tiny pittance of their revenue.
Hard pass.
Yeah. The thing is, my Nintendo video, this was when they announced, this was when I was at the midnight release of the Wii U. I'm just like, seriously?
They copyright claimed your Wii U launch video?
Yep.
That's kind of funny. I don't know why.
Oh, and before I get out of here, let me just say real quick, when you were talking about Pokemon Go, not safe for work and all that, and hentai, we did an all hentai episode, and Mako-chan spearheaded that, okay? So if you're talking about who's the biggest perv around here, you talk to her. She's the mistress.
Why can't we do an all hentai episode?
Because that they already did it. That's anime.
No, wait, Rob. There are age games you can do. There are age games. They're also animes, but they're age games. You can do them. You can. I can get you a list.
Step it up. We'll do hentai month.
Yeah, I mean, like,
yeah, hey, you know what? Jamie's gonna run out of the classic system thing here at the end of the year. She's gonna be looking
classic hentai of the week
for a 2018 theme.
There are many, many more systems out there, Rob.
It's worth a shot.
I mean, one of the most popular animes out there, Fate Stay Night, it started as a hentai game.
Fair enough. Well, we'll consider everything for next year. All right. Ram, I'm going to let you go, but best of luck with the future of Anime Jam Session and whatever you guys are doing this week and beyond.
Yeah, I'm recovering from my 4-day whirlwind trip, so yeah, I'll be talking about that.
You were over here on this coast, right?
No, I was in the Midwest. This is what happened. Ooh. Thursday, I fly out to Denver for one of our staffers I've known for years. She got married, and she walked out to the Star Wars Imperial March, which was awesome.
Awesome.
Then I came back, relaxed, and today, like Bob Coffey, we went to the Love Live second concert event, Happy Party Train Tour. Mm.
This was the week I was supposed to be in New York, sadly.
This is supposed to be a fabulous week for us.
Yeah, my friend did get married this weekend, but I couldn't take the time off. And just so you guys know, I was able to do Seattle, not New York, because Seattle, $80. I only took one day off of work to do it because I had a long weekend anyway. So, but New York is still something we're looking at, hopefully, for next year.
Rob, we'll have a fabulous week again real soon. Seriously.
Sounds good. Yeah. I'm going to hold you to that.
Better.
All right. Take care, my friend. Thanks for calling.
Too, bro. Take care.
All right. Bye. All right. We're going to open up the Skype line again for anyone else who wants to call over at Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype, if you'd like to give us a call to talk about whatever's on your mind tonight regarding video games, hopefully. But I don't know. It's been a short Part B compared to Part A. Who knows? All right, well, at least the phones are lighting up tonight. So the emails might have disappointed, but the phones, so far at least are not. So the only thing about using this little iPad thing is it takes a little longer to connect, and then sometimes the callers hang up anyway. So that just would happen there. So we'll have to wait and see if that person calls back. Loki, did you have a last-minute story while we try to wait for another call here at Orange Lounge Radio on Skype?
No, not really. I mean, Bethesda did another Twitter-like post for Wolfenstein. And, of course, you know, it's the whole, you know, make America Nazi-free again type stuff.
Oh, yes.
Well, they had one now that's basically kind of a new one on top of that said there's only one side to this. And so if you're a Nazi, then, like, fuck off or something to that effect.
All right. Well, we have another caller on the line, so let's get to it. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, this is Akdef.
Hey, Akdef. What's on your mind, buddy?
Well, finally, my SNES classic, the story came to a good ending.
Yay. I heard. I saw this on Twitter. So you finally got your SNES classic, right?
Yeah, I finally did. After 2 weeks, but yeah, I finally did.
So what happened? Did Amazon try to make nice, or was it just out of the blue suddenly they were like, oh, we got it now?
Yeah, it was totally out of the blue. On Wednesday morning, I got an email for one of my SNES Classic orders that said I was going to get it next Wednesday until the 18th. And then I started searching on Twitter if any other person, people started getting their emails, and yeah, a lot of people started getting emails, and yeah, I then got another email confirming about my other SNES Classic order for our friend, so it was great, but I didn't expect it that Amazon the next day sent me a notification about, oh, you're getting this SNES Classic tomorrow delivered. I'm like, whoa, really?
Yeah, nice. Maybe that was their kind of like nice thing, was that since they took so long, instead of doing the 2-day shipping, they went ahead and bumped it up to the overnight shipping. Maybe that was their little consolation, whatever they could do.
Yeah, most probably. But yeah, I'm happy that I got it and probably earlier than I expected. I would have loved it that they would have fulfilled the order on time at all, but this is better than nothing, at least. So
feels nice to finally have one, I bet. Question from our chat over at live.vognetwork.com. SSGO100 Matt says, so are you going to keep Amazon Prime after all this? Because it seemed like an issue with Nintendo more than Amazon. Then again, they didn't look good with the Treasure Truck stuff.
I'm going to keep Amazon. Not because of Amazon itself, because of Twitch.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah, since I do use the free subscription.
Thank you for that.
And and yeah, especially because of you.
Thank you.
But still, the promotions I get from Twitch, like the Twitch Prime loot boxes and all that stuff, it's really great, so I don't want to miss that. So instead of like just paying for Twitch Prime, I'll pay for Amazon too, and keep all the other stuff too. So, but I'll probably think twice before ordering something on Amazon, at least Nintendo stuff and reservations. So yeah,
very interesting. And I bet, you know, to be fair, Amazon probably loves that answer, that, you know, there's more than just the shipping. That's the kind of the value in being Amazon Prime, you know, at least in their minds, you know. And again, you would have what, like the Amazon TV, because, you know, we sometimes forget that, oh yeah, Amazon has a TV service as well, where, you know, they've got their shows like Transparent does very well, and, you know, some of their other stuff. And then, you know, what they got a music thing now too and stuff. So this is all going to be justification for them to keep upping the price, I'm sure. Let's see. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, I wish Twitch allowed the Amazon family accounts to use the Twitch Prime stuff, even if it was only one per account. I wish I didn't have to tie my fiance's Amazon Prime account to my Twitch to get the Prime benefits. So, well, there's maybe
you actually can, because that's what my brother and I do that.
Oh.
So you actually can. Don't know if it's something on the accounts or something that you have to change.
Oh, Bobby says not in the U.S.,
Oh, maybe that's the thing, but yeah. Yeah, my brother and I can, and it's different accounts, so.
Well, rub it in, why don't you? I'm just kidding. All right, here's another serious question before we let you go. Now that you have the Super Nintendo Classic in your hand, what do you think?
It's really great. I'm loving it so far, even though I haven't played that much because I got it yesterday, basically. But I'm loving it. It's really practical. Because even like last night, I had a party with some friends. A friend of mine had a birthday, a celebration. So since we're all gamers, I pretty much thought, well, everybody wants to see the SNES Classic, so I'll take it. And everybody had a blast. Everybody wanted to play. We played Street Fighter, Kirby's Dream Course. We had lots of fun. And me personally, I have. And I haven't played it that much, sorry, but I'm loving it because of because of the games, because the 21 games that are there are really great, even despite the Star Fox not being not aging that well. But aside from that, it's a really great machine, and I even love it more than the NES Classic. Despite the NES Classic like having 30 games and having all those games also really great, but don't know that. The SNES Classic seems like a better value, even.
Well, in the next year, we get to do this all over again for the Game Boy Classic, so just hold on.
Yeah, and I was actually going to ask something about in relevance of that.
Yeah, sure.
Because, the anniversary for the 30th anniversary is going to be until 2019, but I was thinking about if Nintendo goes and makes a Game Boy Mini, would you rather have like an app on your phone, or would you rather see something like the Switch that you can have a portable Game Boy, a mini Game Boy Classic, and also hook it up to your TV?
Ooh, good question. I would like to see a simple HDMI out cable. I think could fix a lot of that. But then maybe you'd have to be able to plug in a controller. That could get a little dicey.
They did have with like a port. They have like portable NES emulators, I think.
Yeah. So I mean, anything's possible with that. But I would like to more see a link cable. I think that would be hilarious if you can actually connect two Game Boys together with a link cable. No, I think that's something they might do. Especially so people can relive the Pokemon stuff. But if they are going to do a Game Boy Classic and they put Pokemon on it, they're going to have to figure out a way to get these things in the Pokemon bank. So your idea about it being able to talk to the Switch somehow, maybe through infrared, maybe not too far off. So
maybe not necessarily like link it to the Switch, but like having the Switch port, the TV dock, have it like an output for TV, so you can play Game Boy games like in the Super Game Boy back in the day.
That would be awesome, but then again, with this being Nintendo, I'm not going to hold my breath either.
Or how about we just release the fucking Virtual Console? How about that? How about we just release the Virtual Console for the Switch?
Loki, don't talk crazy now. Come on.
I know, it's just so weird that, you know, I would expect them to put something that's been on the last few systems on their current system.
They want us to all forget that we bought an NES Classic, so that way when they release Balloon Fight yet again, we're ready to buy it again. That's what we're waiting on here. So
yeah.
early next year, probably. All right, ActiveAct, I'm going to let you go to try to see if anyone else wants to get through. But thank you, and I'm very happy that this Amazon story had a happy ending. And thank you. I think it's good that we follow up on happy endings as well as negative endings, so I appreciate the call.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right, take care, my friend. Have a good night.
You do.
All right. 1-877-GAME-OLR if you want to do it the old-fashioned way, but Orange Lounge Radio on Skype is an even better way because for a limited time, it's the only way you get to see video here in the studio. It's really just me. It's the iPad pointed at me because we're using an old iPad. I can't believe this is now an old iPad, but it is. It's iPad 3 or the new iPad or whatever they called it at that time. That's what we're running Skype off of right now. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. We'll just give it a few minutes to see if anybody wants to get through. But if not, then we'll probably go ahead and wrap things up. I'll check in one more time with my co-host to see if there's any last minute stories we want to get out there.
Yeah, yeah. With the latest trend that we've been seeing with people coming to Twitter and stuff to report sexual abuse and scandals, of course, there's a few ties with the gaming industry. there was, I think, was it the Gaming Grumps or something like that? There was a whole issue with that. But now we've got someone.
Oh, no, I haven't heard that.
Yeah, there was one. I don't remember. It was some group. I think it was the Gaming Grumps. It may have been. I could be wrong. I only read the story once. But it was like,
well,
the
good
head
heavens. That's a pretty head, big head, thing to get wrong. So
right, yeah. So don't take my word for it. But anyways, so there was a guy by the name of David Ballard who was an environmental and multiplayer level artist for Uncharted 2 through 4 and The Last of Us. Apparently, he went to Twitter talking about some sexual harassment that he received from his workplace. So he said, in late 2015, I was sexually harassed at Naughty Dog by a lead. My work environment became extremely toxic afterward. In February 2016, I had a mental breakdown at work, and Sony PlayStation HR became involved. Well, I told them about the harassment. They ended the call and fired me the next day. They decided the company was moving in a different direction and my job was no longer needed. They tried to silence me by offering me $20,000 if I signed a letter agreeing to the termination, as well as not to disclose it with anyone else. I declined to sign, and I've been unemployed for 17 months since. This is when the interviewers asked why I left Naughty Dog. I said I was burned out by the crunch, ashamed to get to the root of the problem of being sexually harassed. I'm speaking out now because of the strength of I've seen others come forward about their experiences in the TV film industry. It's the hardest thing I've ever done, and letting one kill my drive or love for the video game industry and my passion for life. And then, of course, Naughty Dog released a statement as well. It says, We have recently read on social media that an ex-employee of Naughty Dog, Dave Ballard, claims he was sexually harassed when he worked at Naughty Dog. We have not found any evidence of having received allegations from Mr. Ballard as he was harassed in any way of Naughty Dog or Sony Interactive Entertainment. Harassment and inappropriate conduct have no place at Naughty Dog or Sony Interactive Entertainment. We have taken and always will report sexual harassment and other workplace grievances very seriously. And blah, 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 blah. So.
I don't know where to go without getting too soapboxy with this whole thing, but it's very obvious that I think there's been a lot of dark shit that's happened out there, and finally people are putting their fucking foot down and saying we're not going to fucking take this anymore. And even the once thought impenetrable Hollywood dark stories of casting couches and things like that, you know, finally people are saying we are sick of this shit. Period. And it's just a sad reminder that everything you're seeing happening in Hollywood right now, it's not unique to Hollywood. It happens pretty much in every industry, and it needs to stop.
And some shithole guy who was like a lawyer in the industry was going out saying, well, now we're going to hear nothing but this in the future. Like, it's a bad thing that it's coming out to light.
Because how long have a lot of people probably repressed this?
Exactly. You know? Well, and right now on Facebook, there actually is the people posting Me Too.
It's happening on Twitter. It's happening everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah. People need to fucking see it. Mm-hmm. It happens a lot more than you think it is, and it needs to stop. And people
pledge that you'll never be a part of it.
And never judge anybody by what they wear. Mm-hmm. No one is ever fucking asking for it. Mm-hmm. It's just disgusting.
Nothing is consent except consent.
Exactly. And lack of an answer is not consent. Mm-hmm. So.
Anyway. All right, a good lesson to end the show on tonight. But you know, I know we say game industry needs to do better. Here's an example, and I realize it's a dicey situation. There's, you know, his story, a Naughty Dog story, and so forth. But you know what? This is probably one, unfortunately, of many stories that are out there, and people need to do better and be better people and not prey on other people.
Yeah, I was unable to find out which site that was. It was a pretty major site. I just don't remember. I may be remembering who it was incorrectly. I saw it. I can't find it. Yeah. So we'll presume everyone to be innocent for now.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, since our Skype line is not lighting up with any more calls, I'm going to assume that is it for the calls tonight. And I think it's about time we go ahead and we wrap things up here at Orange Lounge Radio for the night. But I do once again want to thank you guys for participating with our program, whether it was live or it was on the podcast feed. Either way, you are awesome for stopping by Orange Lounge Radio and the motivation why we do this show every week. If you liked what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, please tell a friend or two about the show, because it is the show where every gamer has a voice. But, you know, we need we need to spread the word to have those voices here. Of course, a nice 5-star review on a site like iTunes or wherever it is you found this podcast, those go a really long way. Like, I can't emphasize how much good those things do for you to take 15 seconds and do something like that. It's a great, great, great gift. So thank you. That's going to do it. I think we're ready to wrap things up with final thoughts tonight. I'm going to start tonight because mine's a little bit of a downer, so I apologize for it, but I have to get it off my chest. Our cat, Sanrio, is not doing well. She's breathing kind of funky, and we're a little worried. It could be something that's hopefully easily cleared up, but it may be something that's not. She's 17 years old, so we're kind of mentally prepared that, you know, this may be something really bad. But that's something we do have a vet thing set up for tomorrow. So I just appreciate all the kind thoughts and anything, whatever it is that you believe in out there that you can put in the universe that'll help our kitty. I'd really appreciate that. So, sorry for the downer, but it's been on my mind all night. So, Dark Sakura, your final thought tonight, hopefully something a little better. Sorry.
Well, I'm not exactly the biggest bundle of positivity.
Sorry.
Everyone go have a donut.
Donuts are okay. That's a great note to end on.
Have a donut.
You. Have a donut.
I found it. Sorry. It was not Gaming Grumps, so not the tarnished surname. Screen Junkies, a guy named Andy Signor was the accused of it. Apparently, there's a woman by the name of Emma Bowers that came out and talked about it, saying that, you know, and apparently a lot more people, I think, came out about it as well, showing the new texts about how they were, he was sexually harassing several people over DMs on Twitter and all sorts of things. So that was the case. And so they're looking at Screen Junkies and Defy Media. They're looking into it. But he's been, I think, suspended while they conduct their investigation. So that's what's been going on.
Well, thank you for your commitment to righting any wrongs that you may have put out there here on the show.
Garbage humans belong in the garbage.
You do have an opportunity here, though, to make an actual last thought here, if you'd like, Loki. Maybe something positive, like donuts?
Donuts? I don't know. I don't want donuts. I don't know. Just hopefully I'll play some actual games this week.
Playing games. That's a positive thing.
And donuts.
That's the reason. Playing games while eating donuts.
Yes.
That's pretty much how you can sum up us here at Orange Lounge Radio. So enjoy your video games and enjoy your donuts. We'll see you in 7 days. Good night.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or Vog Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.